All right. Tony's going to get a beverage. We're live. I just started it because I don't give a shit, Kevin. Kevin, what's up with that mustache, bro?
Oh, you like that, huh?
It's an interesting look, buddy.
It'll be gone tonight. I just did it for the weekend. I had nothing to do for like 6 days, so I shaved. And I was just like, hey, you know what? I'll keep the mustache for a few days.
I think you could pull it off.
I'm thinking I can.
I'm telling you can. Like, I don't think I could pull off just a mustache. But you look good you look handsome with the mustache, buddy.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Running out of things to do in lockup, bro. Running out of things to do. So I grow a mustache.
Why not?
Such an asshole.
How's that going for you?
I grabbed a pen, but did not grab paper to write on. But thank God there's a receipt here. What is this? West Orange Township Group Dental. Oh, my dental plan.
Nice. Get that dental plan, buddy.
I don't think I've been to the dentist in about 7 years.
I can't tell you the last time I was in the dentist.
I'm back!
It's probably longer than 7 years.
4 years.
Tony's back. Tony's got his front row material dropping pie t-shirt on. Look, I'm not going to lie to you, Tony. First of all, I'm live already. I put this on the rant, okay?
Oh, sorry. Then let me.
No, you're fine. You had to get an adult beverage. You're an adult. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. I was on.
We support that.
I was on Pro Wrestling Tees. Yes. I'm sorry. I don't like the front row material shirts. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. I was looking to spend some shekels, but I don't like any of the shirts they have.
I was tempted to get the logo one, but I kind of dig the drop pie shirt. It's got the Michael logo in the middle.
That one's not too bad. That looks pretty cool.
Yeah. And it looks like a fucking metal shirt. Like, you'd be like, wow, Drop Pie, is that a new band? I'm like, nope, that's Mikey Whipwreck's life.
You know why I love, you know whose shirt I love because of that? You can't tell if it's a wrestling shirt, is Joe Gacy's shirt. Just like that. Like, it looks like a horror movie shirt. It's just like him with like the mask and like the blood, like droplets everywhere. It looks like a total badass shirt that you wouldn't even know is a wrestling shirt. I wear that like on the reg.
All right, you guys want to hear a funny story about shirts today?
Hit me.
So we're digging in the attic because we're trying to clean shit out. And we got tons of garbage in front of the house, by the way. But I found some old wrestling shirts up in the attic. A few of them I actually checked with Kevin to see if he wanted before I decided to get rid of them. And my wife had one of her lady salon friend come and dye her hair for her today. Yeah, my wife dyes her hair. Who gives a shit? She's old. Anyway, she found this the wrestling shirts that I had up on the porch. And I wasn't planning on getting rid of them, but my wife gave her some doll to take home that she had found. And then she's like, she wants to take some of these shirts to so-and-so because she visits her every month. And then she sends a care package home to Honduras. So she's wondering if you want to just donate some of these shirts and, you know, let her take them. So in Honduras somewhere, there's going to be some people wearing some extra large Chris Payne shirts and an extra large Brian Myers versus Kevin Matthews shirt.
Oh, you didn't say you had that.
Well, it's an extra large anyway.
I don't care.
But unfortunately, no one will be walking around with a Dave Destruction She Wants the D shirt or a Big Deal Craig Steele stripper shirt because apparently those were a little too inappropriate for the people she was sending clothing to. I figured, fuck it. If you need clothing that bad, who gives a shit what's on the shirt, right?
Did you get rid of it? Is the Myers shirt gone? Is it out? Is it done?
It's done. It's gone.
Oh, I hate you.
Kevin, what would you do with an extra large T-shirt?
Dude, you know, I don't know if you guys know this, but Brian Myers is a dear good friend of mine, and so is Kevin Matthews. You could have him sign it and then maybe shadow box it up.
Look, they made the $25 or whatever it was.
I love how Matt immediately knows that I would never ever frame or shadow box anything.
I'm just looking behind you and I'm like, that's not a Dietolf Ziggler. He's not gonna shadow box anything.
In fairness, I did offer you some shirts, but I got a resounding no thank you. So
yeah, well, we're not going to even talk about whose shirts those were.
Well, those shirts are at the curb, so if anybody wants to come to the mean streets of North Arlington and dig through 40 bags of garbage, they're more than welcome to them.
A lot of garbage, buddy.
Dude, you ain't kidding. We just barely scratched the surface, too. So plenty more going out in the trash.
Hey, well,
we
barely scratched the surface here on the Shining Wizards podcast.
Oh, Matt, we have a lot of shit to talk about tonight, don't we?
Those would be the perfect intro.
Ton. Can you hear me?
No.
What happened to you?
What happened? Oh, gee. I think my soundboard has seen better days.
Is it something where you could just switch the microphone channel? Or
I think all the other channels are shot. All right, is that better?
Oh yeah, much better.
Much better. Great. We got a big show. We got the AEW. We got the fallout from All Out. Vince McMahon's dropping the hammer. You can't have no fun. You're an independent contractor, but you can't make any extra Skrilla. Plus, legendary. That's right. Legendary. Legendary tag team. The MLW champions. Tag team champions. Excuse me. The Von Erichs joined the show. Plus, Tony versus Kevin. Can you beat that? Kevin's top five list. We got a shit ton of notes and news. Bailey and Sasha. Brock's a free agent. What are we doing? The road to 500 just keeps getting bigger and better, and it's all next here on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on RantiumRadio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.ShiningWizards.com. Shop at Amazon at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a Patreon at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
I'm Rob Killjoy, representing the Ugly Ducklings, and you're listening to the Shining Wizards Podcast. Quack, quack, quack.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
The road to 500 continues. Tonight, we bring you episode 497 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, as you know, as it has always been and always will be, wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony!
Matt!
Kevin.
What's up, boys?
What's shaking, Bacons?
Excitement in the air. The official end of summer. Well, the unofficial end of summer. It's Labor Day. And we're working on bringing you the greatest of professional wrestling. We're joined tonight by the Von Erich boys. Ross and Marshall. One of them's barefoot. The other one's out of his fucking mind. Joining us later tonight.
Wow.
Tony clearly working on Labor Day, huh? Working on that.
A little bit.
Energy drink? What do you got?
Yes, Angry Orchard. And if they're looking to send us a care package, maybe they could send us something better than a keychain and a koozie. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, long time listener. That's going back a ways, T-Donk.
That's linger longer kind of stuff.
What in the what?
Linger longer kind of stuff.
Linger longer kind of stuff.
If you've been hanging around a long time, you know exactly what we're talking about.
That's a good point. It's a very good point. Maybe I'll reach out to Twisted Tea again. Maybe I will.
For what? Another koozie? Did you break the last one?
I still got them. You can't break those, man. Those are like those slap bracelets. They're indestructible.
You know, I'm looking at my hair on the camera. It looks like I've got a horn or something over here. Is it looking weird to you?
Yeah, you do.
I might have to comb my hair before we talk to the Von Erichs later. Those are some handsome fellas. I kind of want to at least be in the ballpark with them when it comes to the good looks.
Come on, man. That better be a big ballpark.
Why?
It could be if you. It was what it intended to be, but come on, like you said, those are some handsome boys.
They really are, dude. I've got so much to be jealous of the Von Erich boys about, dude. They're professional wrestlers. They're tag team champions. They've wrestled in Japan. They live in Hawaii, and they're handsome as fuck. Like, come on, dude. If anybody was a great hand in life, it was the Von Erich boys. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, but that's why I was saying, like, for you to be in the same ballpark as them, it would need to be a big ballpark with a lot of room because there's a lot more better-looking people. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're really...
A lot more better-looking people than me is what you're saying. Kept calling me ugly in no uncertain terms.
That's right.
I don't know if you go. In comparison to the Von Erichs, I think we all are ugly, so let's
we're
just
all
be
goblins.
Fair.
Of course. We're Garbaggio.
Oh, yeah.
Matter of fact, it's a miracle two of us are even married.
Dude, right now we might as well be on your curb with the rest of the trash that you had put out.
Good point, Kevin. Good point.
Put us on the streets of North Arlington with the rest of the Chris Payne and shirts.
I can tell you this much. Matt has been very quiet since we started the show. He's got a lot of shit on his mind. I'm sure he's got a lot of newses and notes that he wants to talk about. This is very uncharacteristic, characteristic, easy for me to say, of Matt tonight.
No, well, no.
He's also the liaison.
I don't know if I talked about it last week on air. My original laptop that I've had for the past, like, 5 years, the screen crapped out. We were in Studio A, like, 2 years ago, I bought a new laptop, and then this one just started working again, and then it stopped working. Well, now it's working again, so I have, like, the mega setup here. So now I have podcasting on the left, and then on the right, it's Information Highway 101. I got the Twitter open. I got the websites open. I got the YouTube open. I got the old soundboard open where I can actually understand where the sound clips are. A lot of spoons in the porridge tonight, people. Nice. Episode 497, as Tony mentioned, and I think we should let a little cat out of the bag. Open that bag a little bit. Let people know what they're going to be enjoying next week on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Ah. We're doing this already?
I like it. I really like that.
Because I think we're going to get so caught up. We're going to talk about All Out. We're going to talk about the WWE. We're going to talk with the Von Erichs. We got New Japan stuff to talk about. We got Ring of Honor stuff to talk about. Impact has a new fucking world champion.
Woo-hoo.
And if you listen to the Wednesday night show, I know there's a little tension between the two groups, but the Wednesday night show, they give props where props are due. And everyone that's been on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, according to Danny, Anthony, and Kate, and Ryan, they get a little rub from the Shining Wizards, and then they're in the spotlight.
That's right.
Eric Young, Thunder Rosa, maybe? Brian Pillman Jr. got his Dynamite debut after he talked to us. Come on. Dak Draper, what's in store for Dak? We don't know. MLW's restarting, and the Von Erichs are going to be riding into whatever town the restart up is in, and they're going to be defending their tag titles. So the Shining Wizards are on fire.
That's right. I mean, we could have told you that. We didn't need the Wednesday night jabronis to break that news.
Wow, Kevin's coming in hot already.
Get with the heat.
Fucking high and tight. But next... next Monday night, right? We got to peek in the bag a little bit. Joining us at 7:30 p.m. On the Skype machine on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, he's a dear good friend. He's breaking out cameos for Shining Wizards Matt all the time. He's chatting it up with Shining Wizards Kevin, having some daddy sodas over the internet while the wrestling's is happening. And he's just loving some Bruno Sammartino with Tony. He's I think he is busted open. Right, yeah. He's got a couple co-hosts, but
he turned that ship like super sideways and upside down and all any which way you want to go. He is the face of he's the face that runs the place, to put it mildly.
And to steal a line from Kevin, a dear good friend, Dave LaGreca will join us next week at 7:30. Can't do anything past 8:00 because he's got to watch that hot garbage called Monday Night Raw. So I mean, he gets paid to talk about wrestling, so I guess he has to watch it.
He might be the dearest friend of them all.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is going to be the first time he's appearing on the show where he's not appearing in person, right? Like, we've never had him on a phoner before.
You are correct.
Like, he did the 8th anniversary show with us last year, but every other time he's always been to studio, and this is going to be like, what, his 5th appearance? Crazy.
At least.
Nothing but love for Mr. Dave LaGreca. Awesome guy, knowledgeable, entertaining as shit. And he does a pretty good job on that show of his, too.
Yeah, but he hates Royal Rumble 1992. And how could you get on board with that?
Listen, everybody can hate something. I mean, I'm sure Matt and the fucking Wednesday Night Jackoffs all were creaming their pants over All Out this Saturday. But I got quite a few bones to pick with everybody. And if you were joining us in the Discord, and if you weren't, you need to get on that shit. Because it was a hooting and a hollering as we were watching along. It was some good stuff. Actually, it wasn't even watching along. We were fucking chatting up the Wednesday show as well. And that was even greater. And I know all fired up about that too, but hey, buddy, sorry, man. We were having our own party while you guys were partying.
Oh, we had a great time.
But
I mean,
I love it though. That's when my beautiful wife created the Discord for us, this is what I envisioned. This is what I wanted. I want the chat, constant chatter, the community. I want the ball busting. I fucking love it. Now, so
you wanted a Monday Night Raw and then a Thunder that was far less inferior.
No, I wanted a wrestling community where everybody can talk and be friends.
There was so much heat that your wife was fucking full of heat for you, bro. She was ready to come in here and start kicking the shit out of you.
I mean, if you listen to the Wednesday night show, she did come in here and she had some words for me. So maybe I got in a little bit of hot water, but that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Hey, man, it's all good. It's all good. At least it was all good on our end because we were having a fucking blast in the Discord.
That's all it's about. You want to talk AEW wrestling? There's a channel for that. You want to talk about Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, WWE? There's a channel for that. You got your little freaky side. You got your little, you know, you live in your parents' basement. You don't want to come out. You're afraid to talk to a real woman, but you fantasize about the Yoshi, right? The Yoshi. You watch the Yoshi wrestling, Kenny? Yeah.
Yeah, Spock.
What? What is this?
The Yoshi, Kevin. Japanese wrestling.
We added a Joshi channel to
the... Isn't that the dinosaur from Mario Brothers?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And all you little freaky perverts that are into the women's wrestling, it's just right in your alley.
So here's what I don't understand. You find this all freaky, perverted, and like weird nonsense, but you have a Joshi channel. Meantime, on request, I created a Bruno Sammartino channel, and you were quick to take that away from me. I don't understand. I don't understand at all. What's creepy about Bruno?
We had Bruno Sammartino month, and I was against that. What do we need a Bruno channel for? What?
To remember every day what that man gave to us in the professional wrestling business.
The last time he was relevant was 50 years ago. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about Bruno Sammartino, his hairy back, his boring, sleepy matches. If you have insomnia, watch a Bruno Sammartino match. We want people to join the Discord. We don't want them to leave the Discord. Nobody wants to talk about Bruno Sammartino. All right?
Speaking of boring, sleepy matches, can we talk about All Out?
We can. The fallout from All Out, baby. Tony was you're a little fired up, Tony, I see, about this All Out, huh?
I mean, the show Wednesday, I'm sure you guys are going to give the entire breakdown of the pay-per-view as well as Dynamite the way you usually do. However, I don't know, man. Like, it didn't seem like I was on the same page with most of the people chatting it up on Saturday that as a lot of you guys with some of the stuff that I was seeing, like, I don't know, man. Overall, I still would lean toward a thumbs up. But first and foremost, there's an awful lot of fucking long matches on that show, dude. For 10 matches to go 4 hours, that's a lot of fucking time. I don't know if it's just me, but it seemed like a lot of those matches could have shaved a good 5-10 minutes off. That's the start. Any opinions on time?
Time, I didn't really care. You know, I don't care about time. I watch New Japan shows, so I don't know. Like, I
too, but unless you're watching an Okada match, like, you know what you're in for. You know what I'm saying?
I was excited for the show. Actually, my work schedule worked out, so I was home to watch it. Before we dive into the show, though, we have our picks.
Ooh, wait.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Since we're not doing this with any consistency, I think it's only fair to...
It's time for the Shining Wizards pay-per-view pick extravaganza! AEW's All Out Results Show!
All right, what do we got, sir?
So, myself and Tony, we came in with 7-4 records.
Wow, we did that well?
We did. Shining Wizards Kevin... came in at 8-3.
Whoa!
So a couple weeks ago, Kevin was about 12 games back. Now Kevin is 5 games out of first place.
Who's in first, Matt?
Shining Wizards Tony has a game up on me, and he's got 5 games up on Kevin.
So Kevin's only 4 behind you. This is a
yes.
tight race.
Here. Yes, Kevin has rebounded very strongly. And he is back in the saddle.
I should have done more. I don't know why I picked Reynolds and Silver over Private Party. That was stupid.
I did too. Don't feel bad. But you know who I picked that you guys didn't pick? Orange Cassidy. Woo!
You did indeed. You took Orange Cassidy. I don't think anyone had Archer.
I think you had Archer.
No. I had Pac because I was thinking he was going to be the wild card.
I should get a point because Kingston was the last one eliminated.
No, you don't get nothing. He's
you're
first.
Already.
He's the first. He's the first fucking loser. That's what you get, okay?
Well, all right. Speaking of losers, Kevin won last week when he challenged you. Great questions by Ryan, by the way. But Kevin is so miserable when he's losing, when he's winning. Does anything make you happy when there's competition?
No, because I'm very. See, I'm in a weird spot because I'm super competitive, but yeah. But I'm terrible at everything.
You're like, a question about Japan? What the fuck is this?
Yeah, it's not a good look. I agree. It's definitely not a good look. But hey, actually, you know what? Speaking of Mr. Negativity, T-Donk.
Me?
Yeah, you had a little problem with my list last week.
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, who? All right. If you can go back, I had a list.
I don't remember, but if you want to bring up names, the first nine names they rattled off. I'm like, how is one of these not on the fucking list?
It was top five, like, legendary superstars that were brought back with terrible gimmicks. And if I remember correctly off the top of my head, I had Iron Sheik as Colonel Mustafa.
Yeah.
Ron Simmons as Farouk.
Good choices.
Tony Atlas as Saba Simba.
Another good choice.
The only one which I also said was questionable was number five, which was Zip as Dr. Tom Pritchard, which is terrible, but you claim that it shouldn't have been on the list.
Oh, Matt, what were some of the other possibilities that you and Ryan were throwing out there?
I don't remember, man.
That's the thing. I don't remember. Okay, no Sin Bodhi?
he mentioned that. I never heard of a Sin Bodhi before Kazarni. Was he like a big-time guy?
I don't know. I think that was one of the people Matt brought up.
Yeah, he was. And you brought up in our text messages, you brought up Cactus Jack.
Yeah, and the only thing I have here is Dr. Fucking Tom.
Yeah, but the Mankind gimmick was a great gimmick.
I'd have to go back and listen, but I swear, Ryan and Matt had some great responses, and you were just like, thought about it. Whenever Kevin takes that deep breath, you know thought about it's coming.
Oh, well, that's a gimmick. That's a blatant steal from Don LaGreca.
Thought about it. Wah, wah.
That's a ripoff of my dear good friend David's brother Donald.
And if you want to listen to Kevin's top five list from last week, be sure to go over to ShiningWizards.com or search ShiningWizards.com, Google Play, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast is available on all those platforms. So there is no excuse for you not to be listening. All right, so All Out, right? Definitely the worst AEW pay-per-view they've done so far.
I think that's a fair assessment. I'm not shitting on the pay-per-view just to shit on it. There was a lot of good stuff in there. However, yeah, I do agree with that assessment.
When all three of us pretty much are in the same boat where, like, making it the worst AEW pay-per-view doesn't make it a bad pay-per-view. It didn't feel special to me at all, which is unfortunate. But, I mean, again, not saying it was a bad show. It was weird, Matt. And I think the fact that we all have the same kind of in the ballpark opinion on it is indicative of the show.
Things I didn't like, and we will talk about this on the Wednesday night show. I'm not looking to do a fucking 4-hour show Wednesday night, so I'm going to just say my piece now, and then I will do whatever with them Wednesday night. What? We do that fucking Double or Nothing show was like three. It was so long and so late.
You're already bailing on Wednesday night?
No. I'll be there, but I'm not doing a
French buttered.
Matt's all out.
No, I'm all in on
Matt's
everything.
Matt's all out of Wednesdays now.
No, I'm just going to say what I have to say here, and that way you don't have to worry about listening for me Wednesday night. I'll chime in here and there, but I'm not doing a 4-hour show Wednesday night. I hated the Battle Royal. I hated everything about the Battle Royal.
Yep.
It was long. It was plotting. I don't like how guys came out in like teams. And I really was disappointed in the Joker, the wild card.
But the teams is the gimmick. Isn't that why they do it that
but
way?
But the idea that they're drawing cards and all these guys are drawing the same, like Team Taz came out together. They drew the same club or spade or diamond or what. I don't know. And it was just fucking long. It was long. Like, ugh.
I agree with that.
Look, there were some cool spots. Sonny Kiss eliminating Jake Hager, I thought was great. Will Dobbs getting his little moment to shine, even though he's lucky he can still walk. Matt Sydal being the Joker was so disappointing for me.
Well, because you thought it was Pac, that's why, or Pac.
I would have taken Pac, I would have taken Rusev, I would have taken fucking Matt Cardona. Matt Sydal just doesn't do it. There's zero about Matt Sydal that excites me. It was like Matt Sydal, and he's the third eye. Ugh, I hate it. I hate the gimmick in Impact. He's the third eye. I just don't. No, I can't. I'm sorry. And then he's lucky he can walk today, too, because fucking A, man. It's one of the perils of doing shit outdoors in the heat that is Jacksonville and the humidity, which definitely affected all things across the board on the show. Yeah, and I don't think people realize that.
That wasn't the only screw up on the buckles or in the corners that happened because of that. There was a lot of this and that happened in the corners because of what I can only assume is sweat and humidity and all that stuff. So
it was
scary to watch. It was sad to watch, but it wasn't the only thing that I noticed about the corners.
So I Battle Royal, the tooth and nail thing. I get why they did it. I just didn't like it.
Garbaggio.
What?
It had no, like, look, I was a big fan of a lot of the things that WWE did with the cinematic nonsense. I even liked the fucking Viking Raiders and Private Party, or the other Private Party, whatever.
Dude,
the fucking
come
ones
on.
Are.
Don't be like that. Street Profits.
I forgot their names, honestly. So that's what it is. And we had a conversation 2 weeks ago about them being similar anyway. And, so, like, even that, I found some, like, redeeming qualities about it. But this, the fucking acting was awful. Awful. Look, here, hold this. Duh, okay. Ugh. Oh, no. Oh, look, I stabbed myself in the leg. Oh, I can still stand up, though. Oh, fuck. Not to mention I took Britt Baker anyway. She should have fucking won. It was in her office. But, yeah, Garbaggio. And fucking Rolanda, whatever her name is, comes back in. She's got a banana peel on her head. Fucking take the banana peel off your stupid head. Come on. Really?
Reba. Her name is Reba.
Well, she's got two names. Doesn't she call her Reba and her real name is something else?
Well, she's Rebel, but they call her Reba because it's like, you know,
Rebel.
Britt doesn't care enough to know her real name.
Well, she fucking has a banana on her head, so why should we give a shit what her real name is either?
The Matt Hardy-Sammy Guevara match.
Work, 100% work. I watched it again before we started this show tonight. 100% work. Work, 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 work. He's back the Stronger Than Death gimmick, and fucking 2 minutes after he's concussed, he gets up and he could fucking like stumble around like a drunkard. Come on, dude.
It's over.
Sammy, the match is over. Go to the ring. Don't go to the locker room. Go to the fucking ring where the final spot's going to be, Sammy. It's over, Sammy. Are you serious? Come on, dude. And if you don't think his fucking wife Rebel's in on it, you got another thing coming.
Well, her name is Rebby. Kevin, please counterpoint.
Well, I don't disagree with the fact because I watched it over and over again, and it didn't look like he hit his head.
No, and they I think they purposely didn't get the camera down low enough, and they didn't have another angle of it, so this way they could really fucking play home the fact that, holy shit, he fucking hit his head. He knocked himself out.
But now why I don't necessarily think it was a work is because the finish of the match was so anticlimactic and so cheesy and so, like, why would you not just let that be the finish?
Well, here's the thing, Kevin. First of all, his career was on the line, so they couldn't possibly, in a fair way, finish it with Matt losing. That's number one. Number two, look at the history of
You're right.
Look at the history of Matt Hardy with these, like, elaborate storylines. Yes, everything was great with the fucking Final Deletion, all that. I'm a huge fan of all that stuff. I loved when all that stuff was going on, when they had the fucking Hardy versus Hardy with Brother Nero on the fucking land with the burning fucking Hardy symbol and all that shit. I love that shit. But when you look at what happened with Matt Hardy with Edge, and he wanted to make things seem real, that fucking went over like a fart in church when he finally got his rematch, when he finally got his match, and they were trying to have a real fist fight. And he fucking lost, and people were like, what the shit was that? I feel like this fits in that same category. They had this spot in mind. They clearly didn't know how to get up there because they were tripping all over the fucking the scaffolding, and that includes Sammy because it was fucking nowhere to walk. With the humidity, I'm sure fucking led to a lot of slips on that too. And they finally just said, fuck it, we're going to really kill ourselves if we don't get this over with. And that's why it ended so fast. But to me, watching it over again, 100% worth. 100%.
All right, so I see where you're coming from, Tony. And I get, like, the idea that he's stronger than death, I get that. But this is 2020, right? And concussions in pro wrestling are, like, a real hot-button issue. So why... What, because you have the character that Matt Hardy is, why wouldn't you have him, quote unquote, die in some weird thing or get buried in the, you know, a fucking buried alive match or something stupid? He gets locked in an ice chest and then they open it and he's passed out or something. Why are you going to use a concussion as a way to show that he's stronger than death? I think that's not a good look for AEW. And Tony Khan said in the media press conference afterwards that it was a very scary moment and that that's why they paused the match. I know you're making the face because he's towing the line maybe, but... you know, it's a hot button issue right now because he clearly, I don't know, man.
If this, I'll cut you off. If this was broken Matt Hardy and they wanted to do something silly, like the fucking regeneration fountain and all that stuff, 100%. Yes. They could have done a million different things and it would have been entertaining and it would have made sense. But dude, this is stronger than death, Matt Hardy. This is the kind of gimmick that he's putting out there. This was his plan that death cannot defeat him. That's why I'm saying 100% it's in. If it was goofy Matt Hardy and this happened to, I might question it more. But no way, dude. No way. He went to a fucking hospital as a precaution, and it turns out he didn't have a concussion. They ran the CTs or whatever. So I don't know, dude. I don't know.
So what is this, if you think it's a work, what does it gain by having Rebby go on Twitter and say, this is fucking disgusting?
A job maybe? I don't know, because his wife is always on Twitter anyway. So if you're going to fool everyone, why not put the woman on there who always bitches, moans and complains about everything that happens with her husband to begin with to fucking throw a couple extra coals on the fire? If you got Rebby coming out against this, holy shit, it's got to be real because she'll fucking come out against everything.
But yeah, why the concussion thing? Like, yeah, that's why Chris Benoit killed his family, because of all the fucking concussions that eventually turned his brains into mashed potato. Like, this is not something that, like, you're going to lose people over this.
And it doesn't make sense in a storyline because his beef is with Sammy Guevara, not with Tony Khan. So, like, where does the story go if it's just, like...
Because they want to make it real. Look, with the whole Chris Benoit thing and everything we know about it, am I a fan of it? No. But I can 100% completely see them coming up with this plan and doing this.
Dude, Benoit got hammered and killed his wife and kid. That's it.
But then why would they let the match continue? Why?
That's another great question.
Because it's a work! Tony Khan has dragged everybody else over the coals for the stupidity and the dumb things that they've done. You don't think he's going to fucking stop it if it was really serious? Come on, dude.
Well, no. Well, maybe here's the other thing. Maybe we don't think AEW is all polished and well-run as we think it is. There's that, too, because there was a lot of stuff that looked awful on this show, and like the length of matches, this and that. Maybe this, you know, we don't have real, like, writers or we have producers, you know, you have your Malenkos and your Billy Gunns and this and that, but we let the talent kind of run their own little their show. Maybe that's proving to be a detriment as opposed to a positive, because say what you want about WWE shows, they've proven in the past pre-pandemic that their pay-per-views were great shows. Matt, you would only watch the pay-per-views and they were good, solid shows.
Yeah, but they're also guilty of the concussion thing, because they let twice with Kairi Sane during the pandemic where she was knocked the fuck out and they let her keep going.
That's fine. That's
so it's across the board. You know, yeah. Like, you got to look at it like this. It's a fucking huge pay-per-view. Is Tony Khan anywhere, you know, to Kevin's point, where's Tony Khan? Is he in Gorilla? Is he doing production? Is he in the TV truck? Like, there's no way fucking Tony Khan ran down there.
That's what he said he did, didn't he? I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think it was, if it is real, and I believe, part of me still kind of believes that he was hurt. I didn't think it was like a concussion, because it didn't look like he hit his head. Now, whether or not that actually constitutes a concussion, I don't know. Maybe just the, you know, the whiplash of of a fall like that could do it. And they totally overshot the table. Let's not like get that twisted. They totally overshot the table. So
I just think it's a if you're trying to tell this story, I think using a concussion as an example of him being stronger than death is in poor taste, and it's a terrible job. Okay. As for
it doesn't make sense either, Matt.
For whoever said he was cleared to go, shame on you. You know, I get it. He's Matt Hardy. He's been in the wrestling business for 25 years. If it's the biggest show of the year and he's telling you he can still go, and you have to make a decision in the snap of a fingers, like, I understand. It's not the best decision, especially if he really is concussed, that they let him go out there. And it definitely affected the match. You can clearly see that there was something was not right with the rest of the match, and that's why I think it ended as prematurely as it did. I just, if it's a work and they're using a concussion as an angle, I think that's a poor decision on AEW.
And there's no, I don't think that's the case at all. I think you could turn it into an angle against, like, maybe they're doing something with Sammy being unsafe. Maybe if they want to go the real route, maybe that's the route they're taking, how Sammy's been consistently unsafe in wrestling. So, I mean, if you want to take the real, like, you know, smart fan angle of it, if you want to pick one, that might be a way you can go. But I really don't think a fake concussion is why they did. And I don't think that's the direction that they're going. I could be way off, but I don't think that's the direction they're going at all. Like I said, if you want to play now, this is like the third or fourth thing that Sammy's either done or said that makes him look like a bad guy.
Oh, you can't. You couldn't blame Sammy.
No, of course not. You can't blame Sammy for this, but it's a trail, just like the Seth Rollins stuff. Everyone called Seth Rollins unsafe. He wasn't to blame for a lot of it. The Sting stuff, maybe the whatever you want to pick and choose what he was to blame for and what he's not. That's fine. That's neither here nor there. But it was a narrative. So if that's the narrative of Sammy, he's just a young kid who doesn't know any better, or if he's just a careless guy throwing chairs at people's heads and causing Matt Hardy's injury. If you want to take a realistic approach and further the storyline, that's the direction I go. Not this Matt Hardy versus Tony Khan. I had a concussion. I'm stronger than death. You know, I defied the world and about this. I'm just spitballing here, but I really feel like that would be a better way. I don't think it's a work in terms of an angle with concussions.
Well, he's clear to go Wednesday night, so he's going to be at Dynamite. So that's another look. It's just, I don't know. It's weird shit. It's weird. It's
The whole show was weird.
I think the first half of the show was not good. With the exception of the Jurassic Express Young Bucks match. And I think the second half of the show was much, much better.
Agreed. I took notes. Let me see if I can pull up my notes. The women's match was fantastic.
I said on the Wednesday night show when it was Thunder Rosa against Serena Deeb on Dynamite, like, Jim Ross couldn't not bury the AEW women's division when he mentioned how great these two competitors are. It really speaks volumes of how, I don't want to sound mean when I say this, the shambles that is the AEW women's division when you're one of the best performers is not in your company and she's coming in and she's headlining the pay-per-view. You would hope Tony Khan would scoop up Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb and anyone else who can work because they need the fucking help. But man, it looked like Thunder Rosa carried Sheeta through that whole match. It was a great match.
Yeah. Let's see what, I have my notes. Very, very basic notes. Sheeta versus Thunder, match of the night. That's what I have here. And I think that's accurate to me.
I tend to agree with Kevin on that one. I think overall that was the match of the night.
Really? Honestly.
Can we talk about JR since we brought him up real quick?
Are you going where I think you're going?
He was fucking awful tonight, fucking Saturday night. Can I say it?
I mean, you just did.
He's fucking saying, oh, did Anna Jay just have a wardrobe malfunction? I was getting excited. Come on, dude. Every fucking match, he's got to be the funny guy. You're not the funny guy. I don't tune into Jim Ross for the fucking funny. I don't. I'll listen to him on his podcast if I want him to be funny.
Isn't that what I've been saying from the freaking beginning?
Kevin, and you turned him. Thank you.
And he had to leave podcast JR at home and be legendary Hall of Famer JR. He hasn't, he's had glimpses, I think, and again, far be it from me to criticize him because he's, you know, arguably the greatest of all time, but he's losing it, man. He's JR, losing a step.
He's not calling Stranglemania. He's calling a fucking pay-per-view where there's serious fucking matches and titles on the line, and stop pulling the curtain back on so much shit too, man. Seriously.
Yeah agreed. And again, match. And this is another point where I'm just like, we all are against, I think, collectively against the way Vince McMahon runs his ship. But AEW, the more time that goes by, it seems like there's less and less structure and less rules that make it just so sometimes unbearable to watch.
You know what? I don't want to cut you off, but you made that point when we were talking about Matt Hardy. It does seem right now that nobody's steering the ship. That's one thing I felt when I came away from watching All Out. It just feels like there's nobody steering the ship. And I'm not saying it's like the inmates running the asylum where it's like WCW circa 99.
That's what it felt like to me.
Well, there you go. It just feels like everybody's like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. But okay, but let's do this too. And let's do this. I don't know, man. It just seems like, and I hate to say it because I've been enjoying a lot of the stuff that they've been doing, but it seemed more spot focused for this show than any other show.
And I don't want to, I'm not going overboard and I'm not jumping from the AEW ship at all. I think the show weekly is awesome. I think even though the go home wasn't amazing either, except I love the main event, obviously for selfish reasons, but I'm not ready to quit on AEW. I'm not even remotely close to quitting on AEW. This is a startup still. These are the bumps and bruises that will come with. And again, we're only three people making these opinions. There could be a million more that could have thought the exact opposite.
And so, go ahead.
No, it's, I'm just saying, I'm not ready to quit on it, but this show, if anything, and I thought about it while I was watching, felt very disheveled. And like you said, very WCW 99-ish.
And Matt, but I know you wanted to say something, but before I let you get there, JR also pissed me off a lot during the fucking the fucking Jurassic Express Young Bucks match. Every fucking chance he got, he was reminding us that the Young Bucks are the greatest tag team in the world. You've got two fucking great teams fighting for your World Tag Team Championship later on in the show. These guys are fucking jerking the curtain, and you're going to fucking tell us that they're the greatest tag team in the world? Come on, enough. You want to say once or twice, these guys are decorated. They've won titles in Japan. They've won titles in the U.S. They win wherever they go all around the world. People love the Young Bucks. Fine. Every fuck, you know, these guys are the greatest, Tony, and you know, and fucking more JR fucking talking about Lois and talking about his kids. It's like, come on, dude, you're not Conrad Thompson, and this isn't fucking What Happened When. It's All Out. It's your big fucking pay-per-view that you're putting on in the middle of a fucking pandemic, and you got fans there. And can you stop saying, oh, we got minimal fans here? Just say the fans are excited. Just fucking sell it. Don't put over what kind of shit it is. Just fucking sell it. God damn it, I was pissed off. I was fucking feeling Cornette watching this shit. And it was mostly JR getting me fucking fired up.
And you're right. Like, JR, like, for every, like, he'll say something that, like, literally has me on the floor rolling. But for every one, he's got, like, 30 misses. So, like, is the payoff worth the reward? Is the attempt of being inside baseball really worth it just to get that one laugh where the 25 other things that you've said just completely missed? Like, come on. JR is, I hate doing it, but JR bothers me a little bit on the old commentary. I think Excalibur and Tony would be incredible. And if you want to throw Taz or Matt.
Yes, to your point. So the JR thing, is it, I think it's a combination of a couple things. As much as he wants to say that he likes to call shit his own way and there's no one overproducing him, maybe he needs that. Maybe that's why he was so successful in WWE. Now, JR's great, all right? But I think he's...
Yeah, he was great before that, too.
I think he's at a point where AEW, to a certain extent, is beyond what he's capable of calling. Like, his role as the play-by-play guy, when he can't differentiate the moves and he visibly gets frustrated when somebody jumps over the top rope and there's four guys there to catch him. And he makes a comment like, why don't they just walk away? Like, maybe he's just trying to be slapstick funny because of the success of his podcast. And he's just kind of holding on. Maybe he knows that this is it. Like, he, as much as he wants to call the action all the time, maybe it's time for him to hang up his boots. Because the Excalibur and Taz together on Dark are fucking Excalibur. I did not realize how much I missed Excalibur until he came back Wednesday night on Dynamite. And for the pay-per-view, he's awesome. He's like, this is his baby. Like, he was there in PWG when the Bucks were there, and Kenny, and he knows all these guys. He knows their history. He brings up Thunder Rosa being the Japanese women's champion. You know, like, he's pulling shit that JR has no fucking clue. You know, like, I think it might just be his time. And I think he's just going for those zingers because, you know, that's what made Grill and JR so popular, red-ass JR. It's kind of the same audience, but at the same time, it does definitely hurt the matches he's calling.
And this is why I love Tony Schiavone, because Tony Schiavone, and Matt, I have a question for you, so don't let me forget the question. But this is why I love Tony Schiavone, because Tony Schiavone has that right mix of knowing when to call wrestling, and is still up to date enough to where he knows like how to call like these new moves that maybe JR's never seen before. And Tony Schiavone can make a joke or two that fits within the parameters of what's happening. And he's just, that's why like Tony Schiavone and Excalibur, I think would be great. Taz and Excalibur are great. But Matt, JR, when he left WWE, he did a lot of stuff with New Japan. How was he overall, in your opinion, on New Japan? And I saw Tony had a very visceral reaction.
Tony gave a thumbs down. I think he was a little better in New Japan because he wasn't calling it live. It was all tape shit, with the exception of that one show where he got his ribs broken by Jay White.
Fuck Jay White.
Watch your mouth. He was a little better in New Japan. But again, that's because he wasn't calling much live. It was all stuff that was taped, and then he went into a studio and they called commentary and they could do it again if they wanted or if they didn't like the feel to it.
And he also had Kevin Kelly taking the lead, though, didn't he?
It was him and Josh Barnett.
Oh, Josh Barnett. There you go. Oh, that's right. I forgot those two were calling the show together.
All right, Matt, if you had to pick one right now to listen to, would it be, and Tony, you could answer this after, Jim Ross or Corey Graves?
If I had to, I'd listen to Jim Ross.
Oh, all right. I thought it would be a little closer than that.
No, I fucking can't stand Corey Graves.
The problem with Corey Graves is like he makes like he thinks he fucking knows it all.
Yeah.
That really fucking chaps my ass.
All right, let's see. Who else pisses us off? Michael Cole's good. Vic Joseph is good. Mariello's gone. What's his name? Mauro is gone.
Well, Mamma Mia.
So Matt, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about your boy Mamma Mia out the window?
I don't care.
Wow, all right.
I don't watch enough NXT or WWE. I think Beth Phoenix does a fantastic job, and whoever she is with, I felt like Mauro kind of stepped all over them when they did a show. So I'm okay with it. But I don't want to get away from All Out, though, because we still haven't finished talking about All Out.
We've got a lot to talk about yet.
I didn't really like the 8-man tag.
Really?
I felt it went too long.
Yep.
Probably for this match, you're probably right, but I didn't hate it. And then it's nothing to do with who was in it. I thought it was pretty fun.
I didn't hate it. I just felt that it went too long. I got the pick right, so I don't care. But
there were things that were good, like when Dustin finally got his standoff with Brody. But the problem was it was like a whole bunch of filler and then just a couple of good moments. And I watched it and I'll tell you one thing, though, and I know Matt's going to fucking lose his mind when I say this. Fucking Anna Jay getting kicked in the tits by Brandi Rhodes. That was a fucking great spot, dude. Brandi did something right, and it was awesome. And it was awesome. And then, of course, Anna Jay's getting carried off by, I think it was Stu Grayson. And fucking that was when JR's going, she have a wardrobe malfunction. Ha, ha, ha.
I can only be so lucky.
Yeah. I was like, really, dude? A fucking serious thing? She just got her ass kicked, and now you're going to fucking like, let me see some titties. Yeah. Fuck, dude.
He's in 2020, you're doing that.
He's got that blue chew coursing through his veins.
I'll tell you this much, though. He fucking called Stu Grayson Dick Grayson, and I almost fell over because I think he did it by mistake. And I was like, you dumb fuck.
He also said...
He did that a lot, I feel like. Who else did he call the wrong thing, Matt?
Batman.
He said it was Memorial Day weekend when the fireworks went off.
I think Tony did that too, actually. So if we're gonna go back and forth, Tony actually, I believe, did also say it was Memorial Day.
Huh. Very sorry to announce that so and so died this weekend. We want to give our best to his family and his friends. Here's some titties on the beach.
All right, Matt, let's trigger some people in the Discord of the hot mic.
Do you mean V trigger?
Let's do it. How do you think? Because I think he looked fantastic. Matt Cardona looked in this match. I thought it was his best showing.
He looked great.
Yeah. So I'm going to trigger people in the on the Wednesday night crew. I thought he looked fantastic. I thought he was used perfectly.
He looked great.
He was the fucking face in peril for a while, too. So he got his ass kicked a little bit.
Which is what I said he would be since the moment he came in.
I liked the way they went with the finish and what they are possibly setting up. I was hoping that I get why Dustin gets the title shot and I get the Colt Cabana thing. I really want that Scorpio Sky singles push, though, really badly.
I think it's going to happen.
It's so much stop and start. I agree, Tony. I think we'll get it. But I kind of want it to be like kind of like the New Day with like the Big E push. I kind of want it to be while he's still – is he still – SCU, like he's still there, right?
Yes, SCU is still a thing. But now they're slowly – and we talk about it on the Wednesday night show. The tag team division is it's like you put a fucking 5-pound bag of pasta in a fucking pan that can only hold 3 pounds. The tag teams are everywhere.
Too many spoons in the porridge, I would say.
There's tag teams literally everywhere. So on Dark, if you're watching Dark, it seems like they're setting Kazarian off on his own singles run too, where you're seeing a little more aggressive side of Kazarian. I think they're starting to break up a couple of these tag teams and kind of make room for, you know, some of the tag teams that you're not necessarily getting to see as much as me, you know, like the Santana and Ortizes, you know, they kind of got lost in the shuffle leading into this show. Yes, they had a feud with the Best Friends, but prior to that, you know, where are they? You know? So
yeah, it's tough. And like you always say, Matt, you always bring up the potential of a second show, which I think they could, if they're going to do it, they better do it as soon as possible, because I don't know what the numbers are for AEW Dark on YouTube, but they should sure use another place, because especially now if they split up SCU, like that's like more time that you have to give to like all three deserving guys, unless some of the older guys, like if Christopher Daniels wants to step aside a little bit and more help backstage or something like that, you got a big roster, man. A big roster.
Well, the last couple weeks, Dark has been, there was a couple real fucking stinkers, but the one Friday night was really good, and the one last Tuesday night was really good too, with some really good quality matches with some big names in them. So it was good stuff. So Dark seems to be getting better. And they said, I want to say last week, that it seems like that second show will be on the air by the end of the year.
All right. Do we have TNT, TBS, TV?
None of that information has been available yet.
All righty.
Wait, I just received word. Hot take. Tonight on Raw at 8 o'clock, Dominic Mysterio will take on Murphy in a singles match.
Oh, it's big news, wow, man.
Fucking A, dude. I had to bring it to you guys. Sorry. Let's get back to AEW.
I
got to
turn my notifications on. I can't be missing stuff like that.
Fuck, dude. Really? Seriously.
What are we at? Tony, Young Bucks beat the Jurassic Express down there, getting their title shot. Lance Archer won the Battle Royal, which I'm a big fan of. Again, didn't like the way the Battle Royal ended. Didn't like the real feel of the Battle Royal, whatever. Hardy beat Sammy. We talked about that. Sheeta retained against Thunder Rosa in a match where I think we can all agree that it looked like Thunder Rosa carried that thing.
I thought it was, I'll say 70-30.
Yeah, I don't think she carried the whole thing, but I think Sheeta, and probably smartly so, let Thunder Rosa lead the thing. Probably because she was like the new one there and wanted to make sure she got her shit in. You know, but
Get that push.
Sheeta won decisively. I mean, it was a great finish. It wasn't a whole bunch of fucking bullshit. So there's that.
I can't wait to read you guys the notes that I have on this show when I watched it, when we're done covering it.
So after the eight man, we see, and the Dark Order lost Colt Cabana. Brody Lee had essentially Dustin pinned, and then Colt Cabana wanted to tag in. He went for the splash off the top rope. They lost the match. There was complete chaos afterwards.
Well, let me ask you this. So our fucking crack fucking commentary team was all like, huh, should have went for the pin. If he fucking moved out of the way of a moonsault that he hit 4 seconds later, you don't think he would have kicked out of a fucking three count? Come on, dude. Come on. Hey, you know what? And aside about Colt Cabana, I'm glad Colt's not doing a fucking dorky fucking Superman pin gimmick that he's always used to doing that everybody fucking knows and loves. But this whole Dark Order thing, unless it's going somewhere and going somewhere quick, I don't know, man. I think I'd rather have him go back to his fucking goofy boom boom shit, you know?
Well, I think that's what you're going to see. I think he's going to be he's either going to challenge Brody Lee for that TNT championship and take it from him, or be a factor in Brody Lee losing that.
Okay.
And then we find out right after the match, Dustin gets a title shot at Dynamite. So it's Dustin against Brody Lee for the TNT championship on Dynamite.
That's a good TV match right there. Yeah, that's going to be a good TV match.
Absolutely. There's a weird thing with Penelope Ford and Kip Sabian where their wedding is going to be Wednesday night. I don't know. I mean, we all know.
Kate was engaged.
What?
I call Penelope Ford Kate.
Yes, I know. And then there was the little jab at the WWE at the bottom of that that shot, which was hysterical. And then FTR won the AEW tag titles off of Hangman Page and Kenny Omega in what I thought was an awesome match. I saw two Steiner Brother DDTs off the shoulders. I saw the Power and Glory finish.
Bulldogs.
I just thought it was an awesome match.
I popped for the Power and Glory finish. You know how I feel about Power and Glory. And the two Steiner Brother Bulldogs were one on the outside, one on the inside. Oh, baby. Many Steiner Brothers in the porridge there.
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. They probably could have chopped a lot of it out for me. There were a couple of times where I felt like people were just standing around like they didn't know where to go next. Kenny and Adam have been a great team. FTR is a great team. But just something just seemed off about this one to me. Something just seemed off.
Really? So, interesting.
Yeah, a little bit. And I'm not saying it was a bad match. I'm saying it was a good match, but it wasn't the greatness that it should have aspired to be. Just it seemed like something was missing. And I'm so tired of the fucking, oh, come on, Young Bucks, we have to leave. Let's go get in the car. And oh, apologize to the guys for me, Mr. Guy off camera. I didn't mean to be, like, not their friends anymore. And fucking smiling Matt Jackson going, I don't want to hear about Adam Page anymore. I'm done with the cowboy. Wah. It's fucking terrible acting, dude. Wow. Terrible acting. You know who laughs? That I don't mind, and I really wanted to fucking hate it, but they turned on me at the end of it. The fucking Dark Order hitting on Wardlow. What a fucking weird shit that was. Oh, you didn't watch this yet, did you?
No.
Am I spoiling this?
No, I watched Being the Elite. I know what you're talking about.
Dude,
it doesn't,
like,
doesn't have anything to do with the tag match, but...
Yeah, babe, I'm going to eat that shit up. I was like, what the fuck is this?
So FTR's your champs. They're looks like the Elite is completely fractured. We don't know what's going to happen with Kenny and the Bucks. I thought it was a fantastic tag match.
Oh, and Tully doesn't know how to celebrate. He didn't know whether to fucking shit or wind his watch. Did you catch him at the end when they had the belts in the ring? And he was just like, yeah, yes. And I was like, fucking Tully, just fucking high five him and give him a hug or something. I don't know.
It's not about Tully, so.
Yeah, but he couldn't fucking help himself, but he kept trying to. Like, he wanted to let the cat out of the bag, you know, but he didn't do it. It was weird.
This is totally random, but am I the only one that hates the stair entranceway and the platform that goes right to the ring and wish it was a ramp?
I don't mind it. I just hate it when people fucking hang out up there.
Yeah. That's like, what I and
the, do your shit in the ring and then just walk off. Like, don't fucking
and the fact,
go ahead.
And the fact that someone gets eliminated in the casino doesn't get eliminated because they hit that instead of, like, hitting the floor.
They did.
No, they did. As long as they went over the top rope, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Isn't that how Darby Allin got eliminated?
That's how Darby got eliminated. I think that's how Phoenix went, or Pentagon. One of them went out that way, too.
I get your point, though. It's weird.
You're right. It was that way. Yeah, of course.
I don't mind it as long as people aren't fucking hanging out up there. Like when the Dark Order's standing up there or some shit, just fucking stand in the ring. Why would you walk 6 feet and then stop and turn around and stand again? Just fucking stand in the ring and then leave.
I mean, I loved it in virtual pro wrestling, too. For N64, I loved it then.
It's further back. I always dug the ramp, like the WCW ramp or the Maple Leaf Gardens ramp, whatever you want to call it. I always dug that. But that's also fucking through the arena onto the fucking center of the arena floor, not 5 feet from your entrance, you know?
And it bothers me with, like, Jake the Snake is just up there, and it's like...
It
bothers me.
He looks like a fucking granddad who got lost on his way back from the bathroom and can't find his grandkids.
So did Tully. That's like a whole... It's like a granddad cesspool.
All right, so after the tag match, we got Marshall Von Erich, Ross Von Erich joining us in about 10 minutes. So after the tag match, we get the Mimosa Mayhem match. This is kind of exactly what I thought it was going to be, and I didn't hate it, and I didn't love it. It was just what it was. Orange Cassidy getting, like, knocked outside the ring and then purposely dipping his leg into the Mimosa. I was like, oh, this is like a fucking 1990s death match in Japan. I mean... Visually, the idea was great. You know, it looked great. They put him on the big vats with the room around him. Whatever. It was a match. I wasn't like over the moon about it, but I didn't hate it. It just was what it was. And Jericho lost, so I guess that's cool. But I posed this question the other night: like, now what? What do you do with Orange Cassidy? Like, what's next for him?
Put him in the title picture somewhere, or does it continue? I can't see how it does continue after that optic that we got of Jericho lying in the... To me, that's the ending of a feud if I ever saw one.
Holding on so he wouldn't fucking drown, if you noticed. It almost looked like he was in a fucking hot tub.
The notes I had for this match was, and this is at, like, I watched the replay that night, not as goofy as I thought it would be, Mimosa. Looked like giant omelets. I may be hungry. Amazing match.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree with Matt. It was what it was. It might have been missing one or two things, but it was pretty painless for the most part. So
I thought it was great. I thought they treated like the giant mimosas like it was like lava. Like they just didn't want to like get all the way in, and it kind of felt it like it took the goofiness out of it. It was like, kind of like a Royal Rumble, like when you're just hanging on and you don't want to get eliminated. Like, they made it seem like it was that important. Like, you just don't want to get dumped in. So I think they did a fantastic job with it and taking away the goofy mimosa comedy stuff out of it until when it needed to be happening.
Yeah, the one goofy thing I remember was fucking Jericho high-stepping and tiptoeing around the outside of the fucking thing to get to the other side of the platform, and people were, like, yelling at him. I don't know. It had to be goofy. What else can you fucking do? It's a fucking mimosa mayhem match.
I thought they did a great job making it not goofy, though.
Nah, it was plenty of goof, dude. Matt, what do you think?
I didn't think it was as bad as I thought this had like bad WCW written all over it, and it wasn't. It served its purpose. I didn't think it was super goofy.
What a goof!
It was goofy, yeah, but not like fucking Vince Russo in the like triple cage,
bro.
Goofy.
All right, are we talking like
Jay and the Mimosa, bro?
Are we talking like goofy, like just because there's giant vats of mimosas out there?
No, like, is that they did some silly shit, like fucking like Jericho tiptoeing on the side, Orange Cassidy sticking his leg in, like grabbing onto the ropes and spinning to the left and to the right to avoid shit.
That's not goofy though. That's
it was kind of goofy.
It's avoiding getting tossed into the thing, into the drink.
In a goofy way.
But ways that made sense.
Oh, they made sense. They were still goofy.
There was like little things like Aubrey trying to put together the chalice that he was going to throw in his face during the Walls of Jericho because it had fallen apart when it fell off the table. Like stuff like that I noticed. You know, whatever. They didn't take the they didn't take the price tag off the fucking cheap tray that they broke over Orange Cassidy's head. Like, you could clearly see the price tag on the bottom of it.
Oh, so, maybe they were going to return it after.
But, yeah, it was what it was. I wasn't mad and I wasn't thrilled with it. It just kind of was there. But the next match, I thought the fucking main event was match of the night. MJF looked like a fucking $1 million. And Moxley, I mean, this is kind of what you knew he was always capable of doing. You know, it was a fucking amazing match. MJF getting color was great. The story they told about the paradigm shift was great. MJF and Wardlow was fantastic. The ending was fucking done so well. I just loved everything about it. MJF working on his arm the whole match, like trying to systematically just take him apart. I loved it. I loved the fucking match. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought this delivered. This and the tag match and the women's match really made the second half of the show for me, and that's what I think saved the show.
The only thing that bothered me about it is that it was going to be so predictable that Moxley was going to hit the paradigm shift. So, like, if I'm going to nitpick at that, that's it. But other than that, I couldn't agree more, Matt.
But you don't think the way that he got to hit the paradigm shift wasn't done well, where clearly Wardlow throwing the ring in and distracting the referee, so essentially MJF's plan to win the title backfired in his face, and you can't...
No, it was done well, but I just think that's what everyone expected to happen. Like, I figured that's the finish that everyone thought was going to happen. He was going to hit the paradigm shift when the ref wasn't looking. Now, how they got there was great, but I just feel like that was the predictable ending, and we got it. Again, not taking anything away from it. It was fantastic.
For somebody that hadn't wrestled for, I think, close to 2 months, yeah, fucking MJF put his fucking working boots on. The blood made absolute perfect sense. And I did like the way, I think it was Tony Schiavone saying, how is he going to react to his own blood? Is he going to get fired up or is he going to start to panic? And then when MJF started to panic, I'm like, of course he did, because he's a little shit. And that was perfect. That was great commentary right there. That was feeding into the story. I only think that MJF could have done a few more heelish things. He did some stuff, but I feel like he should have played that to get the advantage more often. I felt like he was a little too babyface going back and working the arm without doing anything really particular heelish for it. And I'll give you an example. And I hate to bring up Tito Santana because I know what a fucking mark you guys know I am of him and how much you like shitting on me for being so.
I love Tito. I'm not going to.
But if you remember back, like when you'd see a long match, before the babyface started getting the shit kicked out of him, the heel would always try to out-wrestle them and wind up getting taken down and either put in a side headlock or have his arm worked on after a couple of arm drags. You know what I'm talking about. So like the heel would shoot the babyface off. The babyface would get the tackle. You get the leapfrog. He'd jump over. He'd turn around. Bam, right back into the headlock. And the heel's down again. And the crowd eats it up. I felt like maybe MJF could have used a little bit more heel tactics to keep going back to the arm. Beautiful way he went at it, though. Just keep working the arm. Moxley told a great story with it, trying to get it back. Like maybe it was dislocated, trying to relocate it or get the blood flowing or whatever. But still, I think MJF, it would have been a little better for him as the heel and as the chicken shit heel that he is to fucking work in a little bit more heel tactic in the beginning of that match to keep getting the advantage. But that's just picking nits. I really liked the match. I really did. I think they told a great story. They worked together well. And there were a lot of times where it was like, holy shit, this is it. And then no. And it was on both sides. It was Moxley as well as MJF, you know?
Yeah.
So good stuff. Absolutely good stuff.
I feel like the fact that he doesn't do a whole lot of heel stuff in his match is because he does so much heel stuff outside of the ring, like cutting promos and segments and this and that. And when he finally gets in the ring, he proves it. Like he backs up what he is in the ring, which is, let's be honest, he's a freaking dude. Kid's a prodigy, man. Like no one gets wrestling more than he does, I don't think. So I feel like he does so much more heel aspects of it, but then part of his character is like, hey, I'm better than you and I know it, so let me prove it in the ring. And I don't have to do, while at the end of the day I will pull off the Ric Flair heel stuff, I'm gonna prove to you at some point that I still am the best wrestler in the world.
Yeah, and I think it really showed. And then even like post-match, he said, what he tweeted, He said, we aren't going to talk about the fact that he cheated. And then he tweeted, fuck Wardlow. My bad. Not like I was in a brutal war or anything. Actually, fuck all of you. So we got a couple. We could get Full Gear. We could get Moxley and Archer. Or we could get a rematch with MJF. It'll be interesting to see where they go with this Wednesday night on Dynamite.
If you hold off on the rematch and MJF doesn't get another title shot until you're ready to put the belt on him. So I say go with Archer.
I love, I'm a New Japan guy. So we saw Archer and Moxley over the U.S. title. I mean, I'm excited for it. I think that's a great, great spot for Archer. I think it's a great beast for Moxley to slay. And it's just another notch in his belt that's going to make when he loses the title seem like that person is bigger than the rest of them.
And when is Full Gear?
November 7th.
All right, so we got time.
I thought they weren't going to pull the trigger, which is why I took Jurassic Express. I thought they were going to build this Young Bucks FTR thing, but I guess we're going to take the next 8 weeks to build up FTR and Young Bucks at Full Gear. So I'm okay with that.
And I mean, that's what we wanted all along, right? When they came in, is that that's what they were teasing since before FTR even got released and before they even showed up. So if they give us another 8 weeks of that, the ace is in my book, baby.
Fuck the Young Bucks.
Man, Tony, hot take. So overall, I thought this was like a B show. If you had to give it like a letter grade, again, not the best AEW pay-per-view. But that being said, it was still a great show.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that made me want to turn it off. So that's like that right there. No, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's at least, you have to give that a C right there. It's a passing grade if you didn't want to turn it off. I watched the entire thing and I watched a lot of it twice. So yeah, I usually give them like A's and B pluses. I'd have to go probably B at the very lowest, maybe a C plus.
I was thinking B minus myself. So that puts us all about in the same ballpark. Like I said, a whole lot more good than bad, but some of the bad was, yeah.
And some of the bad, you didn't realize till like afterwards was like something that they couldn't really control. Like the negatives are what? Like the Matt Hardy thing, the disappointment that we may have had with Matt Sydal being the Joker. There was a lot of the weather and the circumstances made for a lot of sloppy stuff. And it just looked like a disheveled show. It looked like a thrown together WCW 1999 show. With that being said, it was better than any pay-per-view that WCW ever put together in 1999. So B minus or C plus. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
I'd say the last, I have a note here about like the ring stuff. I mentioned rope slips, FTR match, Thunder Rosa match, and Matt Sydal. So there were at least three times where I noticed it while watching that there were rope slips.
Kev, I think the hotline is ringing right now. We're adding someone to the call. Let's see if it comes up. Yeah, I think we're good.
Mr. Von Erich. Oh, look at that. We got...
Hey!
There we go.
How's it going?
Good.
Can y'all hear us all right?
Oh, yeah. You guys sound great. You hear us?
I'm trying to turn you up a little bit.
That's okay, man. Take your time. Get everything figured out. We're good. We're all good.
Oh, there you go. Okay, can you try to say something now? See if I can hear you better.
Can you hear us?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, live on the hot mic on Rant DM Radio, the MLW Tag Team Champions of the World, all the way from Hawaii. God, I wish I was with you guys out there. The Von Erichs, Ross, and Marshall, how you guys doing tonight?
Hey, we're pretty good.
Awesome, man.
It's in the middle of the day for us, so we're feeling what you're saying right now. It's nighttime somewhere else. So it's in the middle of midday for us right now.
Yeah.
So how have you guys been doing during the pandemic? And how have you guys been staying sharp? MLW Tag Team Champions, clearly, you know, when this goes back to some sense of normalcy, you have to defend those tag titles. What have you guys been doing to stay in peak ring shape?
You know, we've just been challenging each other. You know, I mean, we got to, like, hold ourselves accountable to one another, you know, so we're, you know, not really anybody else we know who can wrestle, you know, so we're wrestling each other, you know, doing some grappling, you know, challenging each other in the gym, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, best we can.
We don't have a ring out here, so we use the beach. It's kind of cool, but you know, if we really start getting into matches and stuff, it starts forming like a little crowd because it looks like a crazy street fight. You know what I mean? Yeah. But we're doing what we can. We're keeping it interesting, jumping off waterfalls and stuff like that too. You know, just to keep that adrenaline alive. Yeah. You know,
staying sharp,
staying sharp.
It sounds like the best way to train for pro wrestling. You hear all these guys taking these bumps and these boxing rings. You guys are out there wrestling in the sand and jumping off waterfalls.
I'm not gonna miss taking bumps on the beach though. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's not that much give
as much as you might think.
So the dynamic between the brother tag team, I mean, I'm sure growing up you guys beat the tar out of each other, and at times you hated each other. What's it like having to work together and be essentially attached at the hip all the time?
You know, we remember, like, we'd have these wrestling matches on the trampoline when we were, like, you know, 10, you know, 13, 12, you know. And, we'd be in these title matches and, like, you know, just make these crazy scenarios. And, like, and we were just talking about that the other day. Yeah. Just now we're really doing, you know, what we always, you know, dreamt of.
As when we were kids, it really was just that. You know, if we weren't wrestling with each other, we're wrestling with Dad. But we could be at a Walmart. Anywhere we were at, we were always just talking, thinking about wrestling. And so it is pretty unreal that, you know, that we're doing this. It's been like a realization the past 8 years, 9 years, however long we've been wrestling, it's been just like, well, we're really doing this. We have to constantly remind each other. And it kind of makes it easier having a brother, someone that was with you during those, it was only a dream times, and to see it come about, and we're still doing it together. It really is. You never really get used to it.
Definitely.
And now clearly you guys didn't have to look too far to find role models or inspirations in the wrestling business, but but other than your immediate family tree, is there anybody else, anybody that you've watched growing up, or anybody that may have been referenced to you to watch to get more information than you probably already needed?
Oh man, well, you know, there's world class was a lot of good wrestling, but we were around during the Attitude Era, so we loved pretty much everything that was going on. You know, my dad didn't mind; he let us watch it and stuff. Like I remember we went to a WWF at the time show when they were in Dallas, and I saw Undertaker and Boss Man talking, and I just saw Boss Man get hung like the week before.
I just saw Kane with his mask off.
I know we were my dad definitely didn't warn us or anything. We were completely all in, and to see that, I was like, how are they talking? Oh, and I couldn't believe that the guys my dad never
smartened us up, I guess.
Crazy is I couldn't believe that, you know, they were, because I found out the Undertaker, he worked at World Class for a long time before he got his big red or something like that. And to see how he reacted to my dad, that was the first time I really was like, because I know people would always walk up to my dad, but it was the first time where I was like, well, someone I look up to is admiring my dad. And so it made me take his advice as valuable.
You know, as far as like, you know, our style and stuff, we love like, just that classic 90s Japan stuff, you know, Misawa, Kobashi, you know, Kawada, you know, all those, you know, all the guys that everyone knows and loves.
They're not doing much. They're just hitting each other super hard. And that's what drew us in. We're like, man, it's cool when you see spit fly out, when a guy's laying them in as hard as you can. And you have to be willing to take it. And, you know, coming wrestling in the States at first, you know, we missed that, but it was cool getting the storytelling part of wrestling. But as we went on, you know, we still were trying to do what we think is cool. And because my dad, he the guy threw a drop kick, a punch, and
a cross body.
But you know, he there's not a lot of stuff in his arsenal, but he did it well because it was believable, and he really did. He beat the crap out of the guys that he fought with, and so it was they had to fight back, and it came off as good TV. But I mean, who would you say that we watched growing up, besides, you know, everybody on World Class? But
yeah, I don't know. You have to put me on the spot like that. I don't know. I watched so much different.
I mean, Japan was something we stayed close to. But Misawa, like you said, more Fuji is another younger guy that we looked up to, and these are guys that helped train us. Go Shizaki, Morishima, Giant Baba, even my grandfather, but you know, that's in the family. But as far as American goes, I loved Undertaker's style, like the aggressiveness, growing up. I thought that was cool. I loved that Kane and Undertaker were brothers. We were kind of heartbroken when Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy broke up. We were just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, we're like, man, we're never going to do that. You know,
yeah, we told each other that when we were kids.
And it's so funny you mentioned that. Like, to me, like, I was a grown ass man for the first time that I saw Jushin Liger without his mask on. And it like broke my heart. Like,
right. It does that. It does that.
It dilutes it a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I was so all in, invested. You know, I couldn't believe Kane wasn't a burn victim. I was just, are you serious? I was heartbroken in a weird way.
We're on the line with the MLW Tag Team Champions, Marshall Von Erich, Ross Von Erich. You can follow them on Twitter at Marshall Von Erich, at Ross Von Erich. Part of the legendary Von Erich wrestling family, but they're making their own mark in the world of pro wrestling. And you guys talked about your love of Japan. You spent a little time in pro wrestling, Noah. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Oh man, it was probably one of the most important, greatest time in our careers, because we learned so much. They pounded the fundamentals into us. The first 3 months we got there, didn't really know what we were getting into. We went to Harley Race's Wrestling Academy, and there were some Japanese scouts there from Pro Wrestling NOAH, and they asked us, they told us first that we looked like Von Erichs, not knowing who our dad was, and we said, oh yeah, told him my dad was Kevin. He said, I look like Fritz Von Erich. And then when he found out we were brothers too, they just it was crazy. It was a big academy, all competing to get on, to be a part of the Pro Wrestling NOAH dojo, just to go for a 3 month tour. And we were crazy green. And that was the one time I knew, you know, our name is definitely a blessing and has blessed us. And these are the cards I'm dealt. A lot of people would think that we're going to be entitled or anything. I didn't earn this or even deserve this, but we realize that these are the cards we're dealt. And that's why we're happy we started in Japan, because that's the hardest way to start up. These guys, the Japanese wrestlers look at it as you are entitled, so they're going to beat that into you, that you have to earn it like everybody else. And we definitely got very humbled while we were down there. We grappled with all the best guys in the world.
Segura.
It was just a whole new respect for wrestling. And get there, you know, an hour before the training starts, train with all the wrestlers, take few hundred bumps, 1,000 standing squats, 300 push-ups. This was in like one training day, and then go downstairs, make chonko for the older wrestlers. They eat first, and if there's anything left, then you get to eat. Yeah. You know, it's pretty crazy. But I mean, it was an awesome experience.
We had Brian Pillman Jr. on not too long ago, and I fielded this question to him, so I'll ask you guys as well. The second generation bond, I asked him if that was a real thing, or does it just come individually or case by case? Is there a bond that forms naturally between second generation, third generation performers? Is that something that immediately draws you guys together, or do you actually have to like the guy anyway? Like, is that a real thing?
You know, my perspective changed on that. I was kind of skeptical at first until we did that Super 8 tournament, and we were, like Brian Pillman, we met him, and
it was all second, third generation wrestlers.
Yeah, and like, it was just weird, just everybody having that same thing in common, that same growing up in that same environment. We just had an instant connection. Like Pillman, like we just feel like we knew him our whole life, you know, and all those guys. It was just...
It changes your perspective, because these guys, we went to dinner after the show, all of us, and it was just... All these guys have the same kind of, it's a different story, but the same kind of journey in a way. Nobody really wanted to be a wrestler at first. They went to that stage where that's all they wanted, and then they didn't want to. They wanted to do something themselves and make it themselves, and then it kind of feels like it's your destiny in a way. And it was crazy how we all came to the same conclusion. We were all, you know, just really happy. Oops. Sorry about that. Can you still see?
Yeah.
You're good. My phone just glitched out.
That's okay, man. You're still with us. We're good. I wanted to ask you, so you talked about spending time in Japan, and I remember an interview you did recently where you talked about before your matches in Japan, you guys would find a place either on the roof of a building or, you know, somewhere else in the building, you know, just to get your heads clear, to get together, talk about what you want to do, you know. Right. And there was one story I want you to retell if you can, where you guys were trying to put your name somewhere on the building. So what was there?
It was just the timing that all that happened. We were in a really are we doing the right thing? Is this really our destiny? Or, you know, because we weren't really good at wrestling yet. We're in Japan. We're extremely green. It felt like we're just getting the crap kicked out of us. We're like, oh, and, yeah, we were. We were like, oh, and like 50 at this time. Like we were just losing every match. And so we weren't really sure if we're in the right place. And it was crazy. It was before the match, like I said, or like you said, we would get away, go to a rooftop just to get our heads together, say a prayer, kind of just like, you know.
Yeah, get our bearings.
Yeah. Be close as a tag team. There was this one night in, I believe, can y'all still see me?
Yeah, good. You're good.
Okay. I believe it was Kirk and Hall. We just, as usual, went to the top of the building, and we were both just we're talking, and I got on Ross's shoulders, and I marked my name. Just the reason we went high.
We never really even did this. It was just like a one-time kind of thing, and it was just let's just put our initials up here and see.
It's not a thing we do often, but I got on his shoulders, and so nobody could clean it off. That's why I wanted to get super high, so nobody could clean it off. Got on his shoulders, and I wrote my name. Then, yeah, same thing, got on my shoulder, wrote his name. And I think we draw like a bird or a crappy bird or something with a rock, you know, just like our signature. We were there. We're walking around the building after totally forgot about it, talking. And it was on the other side of the building. We looked up and it said Kevin and David in 1982, 83, something crazy. And it just gave us goosebumps like crazy, because I was like, so I just thought it was weird that it was my uncle, my dad's name, and I knew they wrestled in that building. But then it had an alligator, and that's my dad's signature. He draws an alligator everywhere he goes. It's just weird how we think alike in weird ways, but that's what he's drawn my whole life as a kid.
Kind of like double confirmation for us.
Yeah. And then you put VE, and that we just looked at each other, and we were just talking about if this is the right thing for us, and it was just like destiny. We're in the right place. We're supposed to be here right now getting our butts kicked in Japan. It's supposed to happen. This is part of the journey. It was since then, that's been the promise we've held on to. And so we've just been going full force and, you know, still holding some values. We're family is still valuable to us. We want to, you know, spending time with my dad in his later days is important to us. And that's why we still live on Kauai. We're next door neighbors with him. We're coming over all the time, hanging out and talking about wrestling, really.
I love that story, because like you said, it showed that this is where you belonged and this is where you guys were supposed to be. And it also made me think right away when your Uncle Kerry won the NWA championship and he had his initials KVE engraved on the 10 pounds of gold, which I always thought was awesome. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, he defaced the championship. I'm like, no, man, that shows that he was there. Like that.
That's cool. So, got the perspective.
Oh, I thought that was amazing. So you mentioned that you guys, you know, your family's important. So what's the dynamic like with you guys being brothers when you're in the ring? Like, do you feel, you know, you're a little more, I don't want to say cautious, but a little more like, you know, out to protect each other? Like, you know, like maybe there's a little more of a tendency like, oh man, my brother's really getting, you know, like really getting to take it to him. I got to jump in there and do something. Whereas maybe if it was a different person, you might be like, let's just see where this goes. Is there a little different dynamic because you guys are, you know, you guys are brothers?
Let's see how he handles this. Definitely, if we're fighting, it's different. If we're arguing about something, I'm like,
he deserves to get slapped around a little bit.
Yeah, let him get slapped once or twice. But that's your brother, so you're not gonna let him get just like two on one ganged up on. There's like unspoken bond we have, and it's real life too. If I see anybody in my brother's face, anybody, it doesn't matter. I'm his brother. I'll get involved. My brother would. If I was in an altercation, he had no idea what was going on, and there was a guy standing next to the altercation, like opposing me, he would just go for it. It's my brother. That's the same way.
The emotion is totally real. We just get in that mind frame before, and I really do. We protect each other. Like, that's my brother. You know, I'm not going to let him two on one. If it's unfair, we're going to do something about it.
Yeah, and it helps, but there is a caution there for sure. Not wanting your brother to get, like, you know, jacked up. I would hate to see something, you know, something bad happen or bad bump or something. And so there always is that caution. And that's why we always, for our matches, what's been working is, you know, we pray with each other, pray with our opponents. And really, we've been protected from pretty major injuries, you know, and that's, you know, that's, thank God that we're still walking and stuff. We kind of have a good schedule though with MLW. It's, you know, they do the, sometimes we'll do two or three TV tapings or whatever, and in one trip, so we're going once a month, and so it's really, really helpful on the bodies.
At one point, because you guys mentioned earlier about having the name was a big help, and obviously you guys were agreeing for a lot of years. At what point did you guys notice that it wasn't about your last name and it was more about what you guys could bring to the table as professional wrestlers? Because we know that wrestling is a business. You're never the best. Yeah. You always keep learning. You're never done. You're never done. But at what point did you guys feel confident, if that has happened, that you are who you are and you guys can make it on your own merit?
We're still partly, you know, embracing that, you know, we're our own worst critics, you know, so there's some parts of us we're like, man, we can improve in all these areas, you know, so we don't feel like we're there yet. But there was a day something changed, though. We were wrestling in Arlington. We're in Arlington, and Chavo Guerrero was like, after every match, he would come and he would talk to us and either give us advice. And our very first, our match was at Shawnee, Oklahoma for IWR, and we wrestled somebody. I forget who we wrestled, but it was just, you know, a sloppy match. We knew no psychology, getting the crowd. And we're from Japan, where it's just fight as hard as you can.
Yeah, of course.
There's no crowd sounds. And so we weren't used to the psychology and getting the crowd into it. We're treating it like a fight. And Chavo and Guerrero and MVP, they really chewed us out. But it was one of the best things that's ever happened to us. At first, it sucked, you know, getting chewed out in front of everybody. Like, oh, come on, you can't tell me in the room or something. But they were definitely respectful and legends about it, because they are becoming legends in this business. And especially with the younger guys, the advice they give and how much they really help the guys on the indie circuit. But
it all changed.
That is where it all changed for us. With Chavo, he's like that. He's like, that's your brother. If you see two guys on your brother, you're just going to sit there and let it happen? And I was like, of course not. And he said, treat your matches like a fight. What are you going to do in a fight? And it just changed my perspective big time, both of us. And it's made it look at it. Okay, it's not about how many cool moves I do. It really is making it as believable as possible. So I'm going to get in that zone where it's a fight. And sometimes even the guys you're wrestling, I don't know. It's like you look at them with they get something in your eye that's scared. You can see that there's fear in their eyes, and you're okay, I'm doing my job. You know, if the guy you're wrestling is scared, you know, it's okay, I'm doing something right.
I got to ask, guys. The Marshall, the wrestling with no shoes.
You went there.
What? Look, I was at the tapings of Philadelphia. I was at the ECW arena a lot in my youth. I hope you got your shots before you walked around without your shoes on, bro. That's first of all, it's gotta hurt. It's gotta hurt.
I naturally have horrible feet. Like maybe it is because I'm barefoot all the time, but I just have like. My mom's like Blackfoot Indian, and I took that literal. I have black feet, and so it's just I don't know what it is, but there's been some pretty grungy places I've walked in, and I was like, man, I cannot wait to shower. Like, you know, Matt Riddle walks with slippers to the ring. I think I should do something like that.
Yeah,
they kind of take away from the toughness walking around in flip flops.
Yeah, it's legit ring,
but,
though.
But
yeah.
Anyway, he's a tough guy though.
But how does it affect your in-ring work being barefoot? Because I feel like
you know, I mean, it's the reason. So the reason I'm actually barefoot is so my dad told me, of course, that he liked to travel light. But one thing is with my balance, it helps with balance. I can feel the ring better when I'm barefoot. I feel like I can run faster. Even since I was a kid, I would race anybody. If I was going to race anybody, I'd want to take my shoes off and do it barefoot. I just feel faster on my feet. I feel more in tune and natural, and then it doesn't hurt that I can throw some trunks in my back pocket and take my work wherever I go, you know. Yeah. And so it's an easier way. It's traveling light.
And there was like a guy. There was like a TV show called like Dual Survivor, where this guy was just like Cody was just like a barefoot dude who would go to like Alaska and just like walk around. No,
I've seen that. Yeah. See, I don't know if I could do snow barefoot. That's pretty cool.
That's a whole different animal.
Let's talk about MLW real quick, because it's obviously this is where you guys have really made a supreme name for yourselves. What has been your favorite aspect of working for this company, and how is this company, in a world where wrestling seems to be everywhere, seems to keep growing all the time? So how do you guys feel like you contributed to that, and how do you feel about your time there?
I definitely think it has a lot to do with Court Bauer, the owner of MLW. He's really... That guy is—he's like I've said it before, but he's like the modern day Paul Heyman. I think he's—he. If you look at our locker room, it's a lot of the
not all of them, but there's a lot of black sheep in there. Guys, the guys that were problematic in other locker rooms have been kicked out of locker rooms, and we have this weird. There's never drama in the locker room. It's always, it's everybody's close. It's like a, it really is like a family in the locker room. Everyone wants the company to do well and wants it to succeed because Court Bauer really does show so much love and respect for his wrestler. He hears his guys. He lets them be creative. He never tells you how to act or how to do anything. He wants you to be yourself, but he's just a go-getter. He tries to make things happen. He's constantly trying to make MLW grow, getting new TV deals, and he believes in all of us, which makes you – it's different when you have naysayers, people that don't believe in you, and you want to prove them wrong, but it's a different kind of pressure when someone really believes in you, and you want to prove them right in a way, and he believes in all his guys. And so
yeah, you know, the roster is just stacked. I mean, we got so many guys, you can't even start naming them, you know. You know, Samoan Werewolf, you know, Hammerstone, Holiday. There's
Pillman.
It was Pillman now. But you know, we're just, you know, to say that we had a small part in that is just, it's an honor. Honestly, you know, we just don't want to be the guys messing anything up. You know, we just want to, you know, play to the level that we feel like, you know, we're called to, you know, and that's just give it our best.
So it's safe to say that you guys are completely happy with MLW and what they've given to you and what you've done for them.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, man. I think they're growing, you know, and we're riding that train. And I just feel like it's just a matter of time, you know, something's going to click, you know, and we're just going to explode. I definitely have that belief in MLW.
Well, I tell you, there's one person that I know that Matt in particular is not very fond of. And he was supposed to be your boy. He was supposed to be the guy that, you know, that was your buddy. And, you know, Ross gets his title match and
that
filthy son of a gun winds up costing you. And now you guys are almost in a blood feud with another one of Matt's favorites, Dominic Guarini and Filthy Tom. What's the dynamic like between you guys? Like, what's it like working with Filthy Tom? Like, your opinions on that storyline, how it's been going. And when are you guys finally going to get your hands, get your chance to get your hands on this guy?
I think we're going to get our hands on him soon. But honestly, with Tom, we liked the relationship we had before. It was solid. But it all comes from insecurity. The guy's insecure. He started believing these voices in his head saying that we were after him or whatever. He had his heavyweight title shot. He had a target on his back, so he called us in. We came and we protected him. We helped him. But then he lost his title on his own. It had nothing to do with us. My brother had his title shot. Tom was jealous that, you know, because I think I was originally supposed to get the title shot, and I was injured. I want my brother to have it. And Tom already had his chance. So that's where it all stemmed from. He was angry. And when I saw him turn on my brother with a chair, it was pretty nuts. It definitely steamed a rivalry from there. But then the worst thing he did is when we were in Texas, he grabbed a Texas flag and he did some disgusting things with it, threw it in a trash can. We
still don't feel like it's been resolved. You know, there's just such like thick tension between us, you know, even to this day. And we still feel like it's unresolved and it's going to come to a head.
But the cameras didn't catch is in Texas when he did do that to the flag. When the cameras went off, though, we heard the crowd roaring. There's about to be a riot. And so we broke out of the doors and we just cleaned them out of the ring before. That way the Texans could go home happy because they were pissed. Some guy threw a trash can in the ring. There was a riot about to start.
Yeah, so, it was supposed to end there. But, you know, we were told, you know, you got to fix this before it gets out of hand. So we had to go back out there and clear the ring.
Yeah, I know from history, from watching, you know, like your dad, your uncles, your grandfather, you know, in world class, you could always tell that the fans in Dallas were always just, you know, a little more agitated when something happened to the Von Erich family.
Yeah, I mean, there's something different in Texas. It's that loyalty is still there. And the first time we went to Texas to actually wrestle from Japan, it was just like, what? I thought something was broken. I was like, what's going on? This is crazy.
Yeah, we just couldn't really comprehend the support, you know, and you feel it everywhere in Texas. And it really is just a different thing to this day. The effect that my family had in that area and that region, it was just to just take part in that is just so crazy for us.
Yeah, and there's stories that people have. The fans will come up and they'll share, like, stories about their grandpa, watch my grandpa, then they watch my dad and other sons, a fan of ours. And it's unreal that there's third generation wrestling fans too. You know, it's pretty crazy.
I'm sure you guys have talked about it ad nauseum, but what was it like for you to get to go to Israel and team with your father?
Oh my gosh, dude, yeah,
that was like, because like the whole time it was happening, I was like, this is really happening.
It didn't feel real.
Yeah, it still didn't, and it's like, it really didn't sink in until like a week or two later, where it's like, wow, that just happened. You know, we just, like, my dad just started working out and, like,
yeah,
not like,
it was crazy. When it was confirmed, he's like, well, better get in shape. And my dad, he was becoming a skinny old man. We're laughing at him about it. And
that's what we called him.
Yeah. And he's like, all right, time to get big again. We're like, all right. And we kind of laugh with him. 3 weeks later, the guy puts on like 20 pounds and it's like, he still had it. He was working, doing curls every time I'd come over to their house. He's in the backyard barefoot, just doing his curls, sitting there in swim shorts. And his everyday curls, upside down push up. And at first, he had so many injuries, he could only do like 10 or 12 push ups. And I went outside, he's doing 50 rep. It was just crazy to see my dad just turn it on and commit himself. It was definitely encouraging to us, like, you know, because I'm the lazier one out of us. If I were working out, I probably wouldn't work out if it wasn't for him. And I'd be like my Uncle Dave, you know, he had height and he's like, that's all I need. You know, I don't need anything else. and so I definitely, I got that trait, but being in the ring with my dad was just, it was unreal. And the day of the show, he had the flu. He was throwing up. He didn't feel good. And the whole time in the locker room, his teeth were chattering. He was like sleeping. And as soon as his music came on, he just like, all right, showtime. And he just woke up and he got the whole locker room. Everybody was watching him to see how he reacted. He was bouncing and stuff. It was crazy.
People were talking about, oh no, Kevin's not feeling good. Oh no. Like, what are we going to do? And it's just I've never seen anybody just turn it on like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the first shock. And then being, like, as my brother's out there doing stuff, my dad's like really giving me pointers and telling me what to do.
Yeah, he's talking to us the whole
like,
time.
And I was like, wait, what? You know, because I was just comprehending the reality of the whole situation too.
And like, everything he said popped too. Like everything that he's like, he got tagged in, I guess the third. He was the third guy to get tagged in. And the pop that he got of the initial tag was awesome. And we felt like we're in a foreign place. We're so far away from home. Like, You can't believe people are going to know you, but they see my dad with so much love. It's crazy. And it's not just like the Jews, it's Arabs. It's all kinds of people. And they're sitting there cheering together, booing together, arms around each other. It was crazy to see that wrestling could bring that many people together during, you know, there was a time of tension or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was pretty crazy seeing what came out of that. And then afterwards, walking out, like, looking at my dad, looking at my brother, we're just laughing. We really couldn't. It was the only thing that was kind of close to that was in when we wrestled for TNA for Slammiversary. When my dad came in the ring, we didn't know he was going to come in, and he hit the guy with he stuck a claw on somebody. He got a big pop. We got in the locker room, and I was like 19 or 20, and you were 23, 24. Yeah. But yeah, we couldn't even talk. We're just laughing so hard. And when something cool happens, it's we don't cry. We just laugh really hard out of like joy, I guess. But man, it was so cool. It was that and Israel were definitely two highlights
for sure. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, sorry, Tony, go ahead.
He must get a thrill out of working with you guys too, because I know MLW's been doing the Pulp Fusion every week, you know, the 10-minute segments.
Yeah.
Oh, and behold, the Von Erich boys are there, and a lot of times they're with their dad, and the dad's giving some advice, and you know, you could tell he's enjoying himself. Come on, I mean,
he is, man. It's so cool that we're in a position now where we can, like, my dad's part of our work, you know, and we sit there, and you know, we usually take the best or the video that gets all the points out there, but when you just let all my dad go and us go, and we're kind of playing off each other. It just turns into a whole bunch. We're just ribbing each other the whole time and talking crap to each other the whole time. So this is how our relationship is. We're all three definitely really close, and wrestling has brought us closer just from stories and stuff, but not even MLW doing this together has been like,
yeah, you know, and it sounds weird. It really is still special. Every time we get to do a promo with my dad, you know, we're not going to get an infinite amount of these,
yeah,
you know? And so we're just really appreciate it, and we love, like, where the writers and stuff are going with MLW and how they're portraying us and all that. Just, man, it really is a special time right now in our careers.
Definitely.
And it's so incredible. Like, you live right next door to your dad. My dad is literally right upstairs, and And he's been
cool. That's cool. Yeah,
hey, I'm right there with you, man. That's awesome.
And he's been in radio for like 25 years. So like I had to pick his brain before the show because we weren't sure if you guys were gonna be together, separate. How are we gonna, if we write a transcript, how am I gonna differentiate the voices?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's given me advice about, you know, it's okay to direct a question at one and then have the other one follow up. Like, it's okay to do that. So the fact that he's giving me advice while I'm talking to you, talking about your dad giving you advice.
That's what's so cool. My dad could have done anything and we probably would have done it. It's because the kind of man he was. We looked up to him as kids. My dad could have been a trash man and we'd be proud trash men right now. You know, sticking to the family trait is pretty cool to me, you know.
Yeah, and once you're mature enough to really, like you said, just pick their brain and just take it for what it is, it's like, it really is a weird, special kind of thing, you know. It's just, you know, so cool, you know, to like, they get that veteran experience and they have a way to explain it to you. And it's just,
sometimes it's hard to hear their advice. And that was my problem for years. It was hard to hear his critiques and stuff because it's the one guy I just wanted him to say, awesome, great match. I never got that out of him. I was like, man, I just didn't get it. And then when I actually started listening to him, and he kept telling me, don't make up your match before the show. Listen to the crowd. Go. He said, call it in the ring. He said, no one does it that way anymore. And that used to work. Just do it now. And so it was so hard to go into a match like that. And then
feeling unprepared.
You feel unprepared. You don't have that assurance of a spot or whatever you're going to do. And so the first time ever going into the ring and, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm going to do. It's crazy. You really do just listen to the crowd, feel the emotion. You try to show the emotion the crowd's feeling. If they're pissed, you're pissed. You know, it's been the biggest, because I don't have a great memory. It's been the greatest blessing to me, I think, is just listening to the crowd and not having to think about a 10-page match before the show started, which I mean, Japan does that and it's pretty cool sometimes, but I just don't have the memory for it.
And with that being said, this will be the last one for me before I let the guys ask their questions. You're so close with your dad. There's probably stories for days. Has he ever told you anything that maybe he regretted not doing in his career? Like, do you think that he wished that he had a run in WWE or at the top of the mountain somewhere? Is there anything that he's regretted that he's told you guys?
Well, I know one thing for sure is, you know, when the territories were kind of coming to an end, my dad and my Uncle Kerry, my Uncle Dave, when they were, you know, trying to get bought out by WWF at the time, my dad was really for it, and so were the brothers. So they were for it, you know, we should, you know, combine and do this kind of thing. And my grandpa was just so loyal and old-fashioned, and he was just like, no, you stay in your territory, you know.
It was after they did really, really well. They're doing really, really well in their rating. They were beating WWF in ratings at that time, and they're actually beating SNL in Dallas as well. They had great ratings, and then it was when my Uncle Dave passed away. The fans were still coming, but you could tell the fans were hurting with them, and you know, it was a funny time. But my dad and Uncle Kerry, they wanted to get bought out at that time because, you know, now we would have probably been my dad would have been a shareholder or own half WWE right now if they would have made that deal at that time. Maybe, I don't know, depending on how things would have gone. But my uncle or my grandfather, he's old fashioned. He believed in territories. He was mad about Vince Jr. was, you know, not following the NWA rules in a way. And, you know, that is definitely what made him successful, was going in there. But there was a lot of guys, you know, that weren't making food or weren't making money to put food on the table for their families because there was a ton of wrestlers, you know, and a ton of territories. And, but I mean, that's just how expanding works. And now, you know, WWE is what it is today, but it was definitely, my grandfather wouldn't for it at all.
Now with the MLW restart coming up, can you guys shed any light on what they got planned for? Is it a little exclusive or,
I wish I'm blowing up Court's phone. Like, what's going on, man? Just give me something to fight for. I just want to know. But yeah, we just know there's a restart right now. If I did know anything, I'd definitely let you guys know. But
yeah, we'll be mixing up with some different tag teams we haven't in a while. So, you know, hopefully. good things coming for sure.
Yeah.
Is there a tag team you guys are looking to face more than another tag team? Good since question. The MLW. Yeah, I mean, whenever you get back in the ring, MLW specific, though, because their tag division seems like it's got a lot of up-and-coming teams, and I think brawling and wrestling with the Von Erichs is definitely on the radar.
Pretty much everybody in MLW, it would be, all the tag teams. We want to work with the Dynasty a few times where we won the belts off of, but it was MJF's gone. So Hammerstone and Richard love to work against. Hammerstone's, they're both champions. I guess Richard's kind of a champion. You got the Caribbean.
Sort of.
I guess. But Injustice, those guys, they have great teamwork. They can be, they can be proud kids sometimes, but they're young, and so we definitely want to work with them.
Yeah, way different style than us, we're interested to mix that up with them.
So. Yeah, and honestly, I want to get my hands on Team Filthy. I don't care who, I just hope Tom's in there, and that's really where our target is on them right now. But one thing is, is now that we are champions, a true champion is ready for anything, and, I'm not going to sit here, if we did lose the titles, I'm not going to sit there and make excuses of why we lost. It would be our fault for not being ready. And so even if they cheat, a champion should put himself in bad situations to overcome them. And then that's what we're preparing for. We're preparing for bad situations, whatever Team Filthy is going to use. I mean, it's in the name. They're filthy. They got filthy antics.
If you guys could just get rid of Tom Lawler and King Mo, I would be the happiest fan. I hate the worst. Oh, yeah. Team Filthy's terrible. King Mo doesn't belong in a wrestling ring. Get him out. Let's get him out. All right. I'll pay. I'll pay
working
for it.
We're working on it.
I like you guys.
We're with
I got to ask you guys one thing about Hawaii life. Now, I haven't been to Hawaii for almost 20 years. I'm dying to go back. It still hasn't been in the cards, but it will be one day. You guys have been there for a significant amount of time now. What's your go-to in terms of local island food? Like, what do you guys like to chow down on?
When you're down here, did you ever try a local moco?
Yes. Good stuff.
That's my go-to. I'm a simple. I like simple food, and it's meat, rice, gravy, and eggs, and I'm happy. It's a good dish over here. Everybody eats it. But there's this thing called there's chicken lao lao and pork lao lao,
it's just meat smoked and wrapped in banana leaf and taro.
Believe it or not, it's so good. You can eat through the leaf. It's so steamed. But there's a lot of good food over here, and we don't have. It's kind of a blessing to me because we don't have a ton of fast food here. And if they did, I would find it. And so we just got a Jack in the Box, but it's on the other side of the island. And so I'm a little scared about that. But we got to, there's a Burger King and a McDonald's too. But I'm doing well trying to stay away from
it. Yeah, a lot of sushi. We're always eating sushi, that's for sure.
Well, I got to ask you guys then too. Any Von Erich luau's? You guys roasting pigs? Anything like that?
Well, we're sheep farmers over here. So yeah, we got about 40 head of sheep. We got turkeys. We got ducks. But it's kind of turned, because we got so many nieces and nephews, it's turned to a freaking petting zoo.
we got them with the intent. Always have good meat like this. And now they all got names and all that.
I'll walk up and say, hey, man, we got to put down Snowflake. What do you want to do? I don't know if we can, man. He's got a name. It's just weird now.
Once it's got a name, it's over. It's a pet.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Now it is a petting
zoo. The kids, they cry, man. It's just too hard.
We are talking to Marshall and Ross Von Erich, the Von Erichs, at Marshall Von Erich on Twitter, at Ross Von Erich on Twitter. Give these guys a follow. MLW's coming back. These guys are tag champions. They took the titles off the Dynasty at the first ever MLW pay-per-view Super Fight last year, and they've been the champs ever since, so there's no slowing down in sight for them. Gentlemen, before we let you go, is there anything that you would like to say to the fans? Kevin, Tony, I don't know if you have any other questions for the guys. I don't want to take up their whole Labor Day afternoon because they still have a whole day left.
Yeah, honestly, we really appreciate you guys. You guys, talking to us right now. Y'all got a good team, and I can't believe y'all are making this work all from different locations and not interrupting each other. It was pretty. I was impressed. We can't wait to get back in the ring. We're more than ready. We've been just constantly working out and stuff. It was good resting time, but it's definitely ignited a new fire in us. We're so pumped. We miss wrestling so bad. I can't even watch wrestling videos anymore. This makes me sad. I'm gonna get so bad. I've watched too much wrestling. I've overloaded. And so now I just got to go do it, you know. But that's really it, man. So thank you for having us on. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate you guys.
Oh, I appreciate you guys. Anytime you want to come back on, we'd be more than happy to have you, especially when MLW starts back up again.
This was sick. Thank you. Thank you for having us. And if you ever come to Hawaii, we'll eat some Lau Lau or...
Yeah, instead of the Mon Eric Ranch, you know. Yeah.
Don't hit the... He'll take you up. Don't tell Tony that.
You wouldn't go hang out with the Mon Eric boys if you were in Hawaii? Come on.
You can stay.
If you make it to Kauai, come on over.
Look, I don't think they would mind me and Kevin, but you showing up, Tony. Forget about it. What?
I'll bring the beers.
Say,
there you go. Okay. You're invited. Yeah.
What are you bringing, Tony?
I'll stop at Jack in the Box.
Okay. Well. You already had your invite. Now you can. Yeah, now I can sleep in my
house. See, I thought you were trying to lay off the Jack in the Box. You can't be. You're bringing the devil into the Von Erich Ranch. You're gonna. He's gonna get.
Temptation, I told you, I'm easily tempted, man.
But you know what?
Once and I'll take it.
Yeah, well, then you'll enjoy it, and then you'll realize I got to go start working out again with my brother Ross, and then you're good to go.
That would actually motivate me even more. I got you.
I'm thinking. I got you guys. I'm looking out for you.
Yeah, but Marshall said he was the lazy one. I'm a lazy one, and I like the fast food. Look at me. I'm a little fat ass.
Yeah, but you have Ross pushing you to do some push-ups and sit-ups. That's why.
Please don't encourage my wife to push me. I don't need that.
Push me a little bit, man.
The MLW Tag Team Champions, Ross and Marshall Von Erich. Guys, thank you so much. Your T-shirts are going out in the mail tomorrow.
You guys so much.
We appreciate you guys taking the time to join us.
Take care, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, guys. Be well. The Von Erichs, Marshall and Ross Von Erich, they cammed up. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great, man. That was that was a ton of fun.
Dare I say, top five?
Yeah, I'd go for that. Sure, absolutely.
I'd say top five easily.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to throw this out there, all right?
Uh-oh.
All right? The Von Erichs can cam up, but your fucking homeboy with the tinfoil hat can't figure out how to use a fucking camera. That's why he's a fucking loser, okay?
Because the Von Erichs can handle themselves if the Illuminati come after them. I'm a little worried about Francis because of everything that he knows. And why would he worry about Francis?
The wrestling maniac, Eric Young, could cam up.
Impact World Champion Eric Young.
That's right.
Cam up. See, that's the thing, Kevin. Champions camming up, you know? I would say Thunder Rosa, but, you know, maybe she didn't want us looking at her. We might think that we're, like, ghoulish or something.
Thunder Rosa was a very busy woman. She had just come from the gym. Drago was going crazy, all right? She's a world champion. She doesn't need to show herself, prove herself, all right? We know what Thunder Rosa brings to the table. Your boy with the tinfoil hat, completely different story, all right? Dude's a loser. He can fucking go kick rocks.
Seriously? We just had a great conversation with the Von Erich boys, and you're going to go into this now?
The Von Erich boys are awesome.
They fucking rule, dude. They rule everything. That was a lot of fun. You know what else is a lot of fun? We've got games to play. We've got more things to talk about, including Vince McMahon losing his fucking mind and taking away paydays from the boys. But Kevin, what do we always say?
Back at Fetus.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
Hold on. Moment. Lost. Like tears in the rain.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Incomplete Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
And I wish I would have had some music queued up, but I don't have any music, so I'll sing a little bit while I find a song. Circus, circus, here comes some music. It's coming, so Matt can do the plugs now. Circus.
Wait, you don't hear that, Tony?
Now
I do.
Come on, man.
Well, now I hear it.
Now I hear it. Definitely wasn't coming in.
All right, it's time for us to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And you can do so by going over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1 a month, that's right, $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And at this time, we're going to thank those that support us over on our Patreon. We're going to start with the Queen of the Shining Wizards, Miss Kathy Hummer, Mr. Manny Carrazzo, the King of the Shining Wizards, the newly released AOP, Anthony and Danny Russinello, Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. Into some local brewery, check out elementary.com. Elementary.com. Sean Toe and Sean Callejo. Mr. Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Kate the Great Hensler over at ondeckic.com. If you need a jingle, if you need a plug, if you need someone to sell your product, Kate the Great is the gal. She be looking all hot and sexy like Penelope Ford. She come walking in there. Don't let those looks fool you. She's all business. She'll kick you in the dick, smash your head on the desk, and then she'll sell the shit out of your product, and you'll be like, what the hell just happened to me? Kate the Great just made me a millionaire, and my product is number one on the charts. And that is what On Deck IC does. No, it's nowhere good as Tony's pug, but you know what? It got your attention. It got your attention, Tony. I saw them eyebrows go up and down a couple times. Those little pesky peats on your face. Those caterpillars. Matt Garifo.
No relation to the KJG.
The SWK.
No relation to the KJG. Matt Mellinger.
Definitely no relation to the KJG.
Christine Friesendorf.
She's related.
Mark Parloni. We want to say happy birthday. Of course, Mark has been a great supporter, and he continually tags us in stuff on Twitter. So, Mark, thank you. A happy belated birthday. Sorry we missed it. Kenny Hawsey, Mr. Scott Drinkmore, J-Cop, the big Papa Cump, Cop Pump. I'm having a stroke. Hey, guess who's having a stroke tonight? J-Cop, Bopa, Papa, Pumpa, Dumpa, Dumpa. From the Turnbuckle Throw Bumps, Dumps to Dumps. Every, I don't know, they're on our fucking network. I think Friday night they do a show. You can look at Phil's sausage fingers while he does the show. It's a good time. Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III is pal Antonio Hosserman makes experimental music at harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. Matthew Birch, the true prince of pro on the Twitter machine. TJ Vegas. Richard Bordeaux from ProWrestlingSlam.net. Follow them at PW_Slam on the Twitter machine. And last, but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
That's right. Lives are going to be in, yep, that's right too, in William Mercier's hands. You know what I burp?
Big ups to William and everybody who's been crushing their DDP yoga, by the way, except for somebody who co-hosts the show with us, Kevin. I won't mention any names. I'll just look square on the screen and go.
But yes, how can I help you?
That's right.
DDP yoga, bro. We miss you.
Yeah.
That's it. He's got no retort.
I don't know what you want. I can't be like, oh, yeah, I should be. There's no reason. I'm just a fucking lazy idiot. I don't know what to tell you.
You need a Ross Von Erich in your life. I think her name is Rhiannon.
Please.
Rhiannon Von Erich?
Yo, don't make me start like making phone calls, because she will be on your ass like white on rice, dude.
Please don't.
Ross Von Erich? Ross, yeah.
Please don't.
Rhiannon Von Erich.
All right, so Tony, you mentioned it going into the break. Let's talk about this WWE thing here. All right, it came out a couple of days ago. Apparently this started with AJ Styles going on his Twitch stream and telling people that he did have COVID-19, which prompted Vince McMahon to, I guess he was at the end of his rope.
God damn it!
Dave Meltzer...
If you're going to announce it on SmackDown.
Dave Meltzer had announced that the Lana and her Bang energy drink commercials was the final straw, but I don't think AJ did anyone any favors. It's interesting because of the stuff with the Good Brothers and the Paul Heyman stuff that all came out, and now this. But...
As an aside real quick, is this why Rusev was on Twitter saying Dave Meltzer was a dick and he was stupid and he was going to kill him or something?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can pull that
up. I think
he
said he was going to burn in hell.
That was it. That was the phrase. There you go. Yeah, kill him, burn in hell. Same difference.
I don't know. I'm not smart enough to talk about this subject.
So a bunch of people came out again. I mean, look, it's ridiculous. All right, you can't be an independent contractor and not get any benefits and not get health insurance and not all this other bullshit. And then you start, this is a thing, and you're making money on the side, or you're just enjoying yourself, or whatever is going on. And there was nothing in place when this stuff exploded where they were like, oh, you can't do that. So to do it now, it just looks bad. For Vince to be like, you got to stop now. No more Twitch. What's a Twitch? Are there any big black titties? I don't know. I think it's a bad look. I don't know how you guys feel about it. And Tony, I know you do the law stuff, so you know some more of the logistics. But I just think it's a bad look.
Well, it's a very touchy situation. I mean, look, the WWE could always claim that it owns the intellectual property of all the characters it creates, all the likenesses, the characteristics. All we have to do is go back to Kevin's favorite time in wrestling, 1997, look through the lawsuits that WWF filed against WCW for the quote-unquote likenesses and mannerisms of characters which they created, namely Diesel and Razor Ramon. Now, Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, of course, went by their real names, but the big hang-up was that Scott Hall was still doing all the Razor Ramon mannerisms with the toothpick throwing and the ayo and all that shit. So if it's IP that they created and somebody's playing a character, then they have a legal leg to stand on. If it's somebody who it's their actual name, it's a bit different, which is why you get somebody like Crazy Jim Helwig, who became the Warrior just so he can continue to use the Warrior moniker. Maybe he wasn't so crazy after all. You know what I'm saying? And then it also gets diced up because when do you or how do you separate the person who goes by their real name, like AJ Styles, and the AJ Styles that is written into the storylines and what the WWE wants him to be. You know, that's a little fuzzier line. I think you have a harder argument to say that AJ Styles can't be AJ Styles on his Twitch channel or anything like that. But in terms of their created IP, absolutely. It's still kind of a dickish thing to do at this point, considering they have really not much of a recourse to actually go out and make more money in terms of, you know, not necessarily pay-per-view buys, but house show business, which generates tons of merchandise. When people go there, they usually go there with a fistful of dollars, and they got to buy the latest Roman Reigns shirt or whoever's popular these days in the wrestling business, shirts or hats or banners or pendants or pennants or whatever. You know, so, I mean, I get it. It's still kind of a dicky thing to do, but depending on how you're looking at it, it could be a difficult legal leg to stand on.
Yeah, and WWE's response was like, hey, listen, they're not – the expenses are completely lowered because they're not going anywhere. There's no travel. There's no, you know, rent a car. They're not paying for their hotels. So the monetary loss isn't as great because they're not doing as much out of their own pocket. So – I mean, that's just devil's advocate. I agree 100% with the Mick Foley's and the Kevin Nash's of the world. Now, here, if they do decide at one point, if the light at the end of the tunnel here is that they actually make them employees, then that's a whole different ballgame, right, Tony?
Yeah, well, of course, because then if you're an actual employee, then you're entitled to things like retirement benefits, medical benefits, you know, all the stuff that these guys have wanted, you know, for decades now. That you know, that they have to rely on brother organizations to kind of help them raise money and and help these guys save money, put things away for the future, and not, you know, live paycheck to paycheck, which I'm sure if you look at most of the roster, they're not doing that anyway. But you know, they're entitled to make their money, they're entitled to ply their trade just like anybody else. So I mean, if you really want to get into it, there's a lot of people that are suffering across the board who aren't able to make money in these days. And even if it starts taking some money out of your pocket, it's still not right, regardless of what your expenses are.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't mean to bring everything down there, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. I don't, I guess, like I said, I don't know enough about the legalities, the legalese of what Vince McMahon can or can't do, but what's his name? Who was the guy that was running for president? Andrew Yang?
Yes.
Who went ham on Vince McMahon. And if the Democrats, I don't want to get too political, but I guess if they win, he's gonna hopefully be appointed somewhere where he could have a legit shot at taking down how Vince McMahon does business. So a lot of spoons in the porridge, Matt. A lot of stuff happening all over the place with this issue. I don't think it's going to die, just like everything else seems to – everyone cares about for a few weeks and just dies. This seems to be something that people care about.
Sure. I mean, look, if AJ Styles chooses to in his spare time to promote his brand, I mean, AJ Styles is his. I guess he owns it, right?
Well, that's where you get it. I mean, it's a little more clear in favor of an AJ Styles because it's, you know,
right.
It's not
Roman Reigns. It's not Big E. It's not Braun Strowman.
Wasn't there something with the Dudley Boys? Well, like, they were the Dudley Boys first, and then they had to be Team 3D and TNA.
Maybe when they signed their, you know, when they signed their contract.
When Paul Heyman sold, when ECW was bought, I believe it was in bankruptcy.
Yeah.
The intellectual property went along with it. So the Dudley Boys name, which Paul Heyman had promised the Dudley Boys that it was owned. Shame on you, because you didn't you fucking trusted Paul Heyman, by the way. So that name became property of WWE, which is why you had to have Team 3D, Brother Ray, Brother Devon, and every other iteration and you know, way to get around that.
Which honestly wasn't that terrible.
No, it wasn't, and I kind of like the Bully Ray character. I don't think that character would have worked if it was Bubba Ray, you know.
Introducing them as Brother Ray and Brother Devon wasn't that bad.
But I mean, but then you look at you know, Bully Ray, the character, which was, you know, a lot darker side of what Bubba Ray was. You know, maybe that name doesn't come about if they still own the name Bubba Ray Dudley. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. It's a good point. So,
I'm not saying that they shouldn't have had, you know, the intellectual property when it was promised to them or whatever, you know, but Paul Heyman, like he does to a lot of people, sold him a bad bill of goods. Just ask Eric Rowan about that.
But you got like the guys like Xavier Woods has his up, up, down, down. Like, is that going to be affected?
And no, thank because God. That's a, I think that's on the WWE YouTube channel.
Well, yeah, so they own it anyway.
They already own it then. Yeah. Up, up, down, down, they own, or the New Day podcast?
Well, I mean, well, New Day is fucking, is a WWE creation, so I would imagine that they have a stake in that as well. But in terms of the up, up, down, down, if they, if they've got it on the WWE YouTube channel, they got some kind of deal with that. So WWE's got their spoons in that porridge, definitely.
I'll say thank God that my dear good friends, Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, got in and got out. And when they did, because boy, oh boy, imagine the if they were still there, oof, how would that affect that deal?
Well, there you go. What else we got in the porridge there, Mr. Spoonie?
I'll tell you what's not in the WWE porridge. Brock Lesnar.
Ooh.
Brock Lesnar.
For about, what, 2 weeks, and then he'll be back?
I mean, right now he's a free agent, so I don't know if that carries any weight. I don't know if that's like New Japan's going to throw a shitload of money at him for the G1, or if Tony Khan's going to throw a shitload of money at him just to throw a shitload of money at him. I mean,
I didn't think about New Japan.
I mean, realistically, most likely he ends up back at the WWE. Let's not be fools.
I think AEW has no shot unless they legit throw him like, God, like $1 million for like one appearance or something like that, right? And that would be totally despite WWE, totally despite them, right? Oh, look at Tony T-Donk. T-Donk is doing cartwheels.
Fuck T-Donk Lesnar.
I am Croc Lesnar.
Nailed it.
I'm full of shit, not steroids.
Also, also not in the porridge is AOP.
Ooh, Arkham and Razor are looking for work now too.
Yeah, I mean, that feels like a real missed opportunity on all parties. I know you can't do anything about injuries, but
as a
heel monster tag team, I thought they were primed. Their run in NXT was fantastic. You think they would have done, you know, if they were healthy, maybe they would have had a better shake at the main roster.
They had no charisma, dude. They had no charisma. Neither one of them had any charisma.
When you look like that, though, do you need charisma when you have Paul Ellering as your mouthpiece?
But you didn't have Paul Ellering.
Didn't have Paul Ellering, and they didn't really do any favors for Drake Maverick either. That could have worked well, and they just fucking shit the bed with that as well. So,
well, because they couldn't stay healthy.
Well, I mean, this is true. Then again, when you're two big guys like that, it's probably kind of hard to stay healthy.
The one guy looked like he was 4 years old, but just a massive, chubby four-year-old dude. And the other guy, I don't even know which one was which, to be honest with you.
But the other guy
I thought had potential, but he was paired with a guy that looked like he was a chubby four-year-old chasing the ice cream truck, and
Jesus,
and that was it. So whatever, I'm not losing sleep over this. It sucks that people get released, but I'm sure they'll be happy. I don't think they have any legs for an AEW or anywhere else. I hope I'm wrong, because you know, people need to work. Hopefully maybe like an ROH. I can see them fitting in nice in an ROH.
Ooh, an AOP versus the Beer City Bruisers. I'd go for that.
All right.
Four slabs of beef, locking it up, taking them down. Maybe get the tag belts involved.
I mean, I don't know what Jeff Cobb's situation is, but you throw like a Jeff Cobb and a Dan Moff against AOP.
That'd be nice, right?
Imagine Cobb and Dan Moff throwing some fucking big boys around in Suplex City. That'd be fucking awesome.
I can dig
like
it.
That, huh? We saw SmackDown was interesting Friday night. We finally got the Sasha. We got the Bayley turning on Sasha.
Yeah, that's all also have fucking Nia Snacks and fucking No Pigment as our tag team champions.
Oh, I'm sure you're real concerned about the WWE Women's Tag Team Division. They broke up your favorite. They broke up your favorite tag team.
Let me tell you something. Sasha Banks and Bayley, they were making a lot of that shit watchable, dude. Come on.
Yeah, and they broke up your favorite tag team Monday night.
Yeah.
So
what's the deal? Is Peyton Royce getting the singles push now? Are they firing Billy Kay in a couple of weeks? Is that what they're doing?
The rumor around the office is...
Whoa.
What the fuck?
Wait, corporate Matt?
Nobody's corporate. I just have my pulse on everything, all right?
See, Tony, like you think the Matt Hardy thing's a work, I think Matt, Shining Wizards Matt, has been working with us this entire time. And he's... He's probably the reason I don't have a job in Stanford right now.
No, you did that to yourself, buddy.
You took that job. No, so no. What do you know, Matt? What are the rumors?
Job eater.
The rumor is Vince is very much behind Bianca Belair and Peyton Royce, so he thinks they can be superstars. So that's why they broke up the Iconics.
Iconics. They're not sick.
They are sick.
They're incredibly hysterical.
Also on the same SmackDown where we saw Bayley turn on Sasha, we got to find out who will be facing Roman Reigns at Clash of Champions.
Wait, can I do it? Can I do it? Can I do
can
it?
Can you? I don't know.
Can you? Let's see. Can you?
Roman Reigns.
Not only could you do it, that was probably the best one ever.
Because it's been a while. I find that even when I'm doing my DDPY, if I haven't done a workout in a while and I go to it, bam, I nail it. Then when I go back to it, I suck at it.
Jey Uso beat Matt Riddle, Baron Corbin, Sheamus in a fatal four-way to become the number one contender after replacing Big E, where Sheamus took Big E out and sent him to a local medical facility.
I wonder if he checked on Matt Hardy while he was there.
Maybe.
Same medical facility. Aren't they near each other? Maybe. Oh, no, Jacksonville's kind of far from Orlando, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the same breath, we found out Monday night who would be challenging Drew McIntyre for the title. Drew McIntyre will be facing Randy Orton as Randy Orton beat Keith Lee and Seth Rollins in a number one contenders match on Raw last week.
Oh, great. 50-50 booking is back.
Well, Tony, just in case you were wondering, along with the Dominic Buddy Murphy match tonight, you're getting Keith Lee, Randy Orton again tonight on Raw.
I wonder who's getting his win back.
That's a great question.
Before a pay-per-view where the loser will probably challenge for the belt. We'll challenge for the belt.
You know what's crazy? People came out of the woodwork complaining about the change in Keith Lee's look, his attire, his music, like everything.
When he changed his music?
From what I heard, yeah.
They did.
What people were complaining about, yeah. But they put him in like a fucking like a skirt kind of kilt thing. Did they do the same thing to Samoa Joe when he came up?
No.
Samoa Joe used to wrestle in like bicycle short trunks, and then they put him in some sort of like skirt.
TNA did, I think.
I don't know. It's fucking weird.
WWE. I mean, they may have had like the flappy do, like that little flappy thing.
Yeah.
But I thought for the most part he just wore his regular gear.
And then they put a shirt on Keith Lee. Like Keith Lee's whole thing was like that he just wore his bicycle shorts, you know?
Yeah, we brought that up. I believe we brought that up.
Yeah, I know, but if it stands to be brought up again because I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
But if Matt, I mean Matt could probably confirm this because now he's corporate, is apparently Vince McMahon really wants Keith Lee to be a mega star. So if that's got to be a Vince McMahon move, which I thought putting the shirt on him was initially. Matt,
I can confirm that Vince McMahon is big on Keith Lee.
All right, look at that. Corporate Matt.
I'm in the house. A couple other news and notes from WWE. A couple friends of the show, Joe Gacy, Anthony Green, are signed to WWE along with Josh Briggs, Brandi Lauren, Kurt Stallion, and referee Jake Clemens. So that's pretty big news. I know it broke, yeah. I think, last Monday, and I don't know if we covered it, but that's awesome for those guys. So congratulations. Hopefully you see them in NXT sometime soon.
Congratulations.
Ring of Honor will be popping back up on your TV this weekend, and it is going to be a banger. We have our two blocks of the Pure Title Tournament. Jay Lethal versus Dalton Castle, David Finlay against Rocky Romero, Fred Yehi against Silas Young, Tracy Williams against Russ Taylor. Block B is Gresham against Wheeler Utah, Delirious against Matt Sydal, Josh Woods against Kenny King, and PJ Black against Tony Deppen. Last week's guest, Dak Draper, is an alternative in Block A if someone cannot wrestle, and Brian Johnson is an alternative in Block B.
Wait, Brian Johnson? Wrestle.
Not from AC/DC.
Hell's bells! Say it's coming for you!
Ring of Honor also launched a 24/7 digital network called ROH Best on the Planet.
Giddy up.
All right.
Well, did we touch on Gabe officially retiring from independent wrestling?
We have not, but it's in my notes, Kevin.
Oh, look at Matt. See, corporate Matt has everything covered.
Since you want to talk about it, Gabe Sapolsky is officially retired from booking pro wrestling, being involved in pro wrestling. His final stats from February 23rd, 2002 to March 1st, 2020, 507 shows, 208 of them from Ring of Honor, 146 from Evolve, 81 from Full Impact Pro, 50 from Dragon Gate USA, 9 from Style Battle, 5 WWN Super Shows, 4 WWN China shows, 2 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cups, and 2 WWN recruitment camps, Do or Die. So that's a pretty big deal.
A partridge in a pear tree.
Gabe Sapolsky is out of professional wrestling.
Conspicuous by their absence on the list is his collaborations with Dennis Long and Tier 1 Wrestling, but I'll let that slide.
You know what? He's a smart man for not including them, because I wouldn't tell people I was involved in that horse shit.
Hey, I'll tell people I was involved with that horse shit all the time. Thank you very much.
There's a difference between you.
My matches in my career as well, by the way. Nice to see he's getting a shake in Ring of Honor. So there you go. How you like them apples?
Love them. We're going to find out who the new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions are Wednesday when Hiromu Takahashi and Bushi take on Kanemura and El Desperado for the vacant IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions. We will also find out the 30 participants, not the 30, the G1 Climax 30 participants. So you'll find out who is in that field. Hopefully
we can. There's 30 participants?
No, it's G1 Climax 30. There'll be probably 16, I'm going to guess. I'm just trying to get through notes because I know we got games and I know we're getting long in the tooth here. We mentioned Eric Young is the new Impact World Champion.
Yay!
He beat Eddie Edwards last Tuesday night. And if you're not following the Shining Wizards on Twitter, you should at Wizards Podcast. Kevin slays the Impact Twitter. He gets love from Scott D'Amore, Heath Slater Gata. Hernandez was all about it this week. Don't do that, you gross fucking animal.
Taya Valkyrie, Deonna Purrazzo. Purrazzo, I guess, whatever. Potato, potato.
Hey, we haven't farted on the show in a long time. We were due.
And then this week on Impact, you'll see the Motor City Machine Guns face the Rascals, plus TJP takes on Chris Bay, which should be fantastic. So if you're not watching Impact, we highly recommend it. I know there is another show on Tuesday nights for the next couple weeks. How did you feel about this four-way Iron Man match ending the way it did on NXT?
I was cool with it. I liked it. I thought it was a great match. I thought it was an interesting ending. I know a lot of people were wan about, like, why would you have this match if it was going to end? Because it's fucking wrestling, dude. That's why.
That's right. And you didn't pay for it, so quit your bitching.
Yeah, stop being dicks. Don't be dicks.
Are you happy with the two they chose to narrow it down to?
Okay. Yeah.
I never watched it. Is it Finn and Cole?
Yep.
Baby! Yes.
Finn's winning. I thought Finn was going to win that match. Anyways.
How did Finn lose with his fucking eggplant?
I don't know.
You know what? That's a great question, Tony. That should be a fucking t-shirt.
Man with the eggplant never loses.
Mm. That must be your Parma genre.
Tony, your girl's going in the cage this week against Rhea Ripley, Mercedes Martinez.
Good. I hope she fucking wrecks Rhea Ripley.
And Timothy Thatcher will be challenging Damian Priest. Plus Bronson Reed against Austin Theory on Super Tuesday.
Hey, if Timothy Thatcher's getting pinned, you think he gets to grab Damian Priest's gooch?
I mean, if it's there for the grabbing, grab it, right?
I'd fucking grab it.
Big gooch grab.
And last note, friend of the show, your favorite commentator and mine, Nigel McGuinness, is back with NXT UK. So when they resume taping NXT UK, Mr. Nigel McGuinness will be a part of the show.
What about Stu Bennett, Wade Barrett, back NXT for a couple weeks? Is he the new Nigel?
Maybe.
I'm not the new Nigel, Kevin. I'm the only Stu Bennett. My name is Wade Barrett. I'm afraid I've got some good news. I'm going to be doing the show every week.
Is that new news, bad news, or?
Kevin, all news is good news.
Or
bad news?
Oh, you have a t-shirt, Tony, you stupid idiot.
Oh, you're right.
Wow, Kevin. Kevin.
I laid it up as best as I could for you.
That's all right.
Yeah, but he was playing the long game there.
No, he wasn't. He had no idea where I was going.
I really didn't. I was over there.
Oh, baby.
All right. Well, speaking of games.
Ooh, music time. Hold on. I got to get Kevin's music queued up. Here we go.
It's time for Kevin's top five list.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. I just want to say that it is a pleasure to be back here on the Shining Wizards podcast, where we are rapidly approaching 500 episodes, and this game will maybe last like three more because I am running out of ideas. So this is a list that I compiled. First of all, I want to say hello to Matt. Matt, hello.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thanks for joining us here tonight. Tony, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Kevin. I hope you're happy tonight.
Well, all right. We'll save your hosting gig for... Actually, you're not even hosting another gig tonight. But all right, guys. So we're going to get right into it. These are the top five stables that produced a world champion before they were ever world champion. And it could be WCW. It could be WWE. It could be... Nope. It's just WWE and WCW. And mostly WWE.
So what was the question again? I'm sorry.
All right. So all these guys, you can either name the stable or the guy. I'll give you credit for either one. They were in a stable, and eventually they won the world championship.
Okay. I'll start if you're not fucking losing your mind already.
Why, Matt? Why so evil, Matt?
No one's evil. No one's evil. I'm thinking, Kevin. Jesus, Christmas.
I'm going to start with, I think, is an easy one, and I hope Kevin doesn't say thought about it, because all three members became world champion. I'm going to say The Shield.
I can't tell if you're the worst or if you're the best, because The Shield is number one.
Correct. Ding.
On the list, did not see that coming. All three members have been world champion, and one is now the current world champion. That is one, Mr. Moxley of AEW.
By the way, Moxley is number one on the PWI 500 for 2020. I don't know if you guys talked about that. I forgot if you covered it last week.
Should have been Adam Cole. Should have been Adam Cole. That was a terrible job by then.
Meh. Can't blame Bill Apter for that. He hasn't worked for those magazines in forever. Matt, what you got, buddy? Come on.
Can I get Batista from Evolution?
All right. Well, you got the stable, and you could have gone either way with two guys. So, yes.
Correct. Evolution, ding.
Evolution is number three with Batista and Randy Orton, even though Randy Orton, I guess, technically was still in Evolution when he won it. So, Batista will get the nod. Evolution, number three. Dr. Dunk.
I'm going to say, we are the nation of domination.
Boys, you guys are batting 1,000. The nation of domination gave us The Rock. And, of course, he was the corporate champ and all that stuff. But his first stable was The Nation. And if you want to go crazy, you could throw Mark Henry in that mix, too. Because he was also... Because that's what he'd do. Exactly, Tony.
Correct. Ding.
What number, Kev?
That was number three. Nope, that was number four.
Ooh, number two is still there.
So number two and number five. Number five is going to be easy. Number two is going to be tough because a lot of time span between the time he was in the stable and he won his championship. But that's the only hint I'll give.
Can I get Steve Austin from the Dangerous Alliance?
Did I just give it away? Or did you already have it in the hopper?
That's where I was going, Kev.
That's number two. The Dangerous Alliance, Stone Cold, Steve Austin.
Correct.
Five
Ding.
Is the easy one. Huh?
Number five is very easy. This is actually a lot easier than I thought it was going to be.
Huh.
Not to do it. It's a good thing we're running late because this will be quick.
Oh, fuck. Degeneration X!
T-Dog, you got it. Number five with a little help from your friends.
Correct. Ding.
Triple H from Degeneration X. Wow.
Hey, oh, you want to dance to that? I could dance to the DX thing.
Was there any other ones? Because I couldn't think of any other ones that could possibly make the list, unless you wanted to do like silly, like I thought Edge the Brood. I thought that would be right there.
How about Sting from the Four Horsemen or Lex Luger from the Four Horsemen?
Were they not champions prior? No, Sting I guess was not.
No, and neither was Luger.
That they could have easily been there for sure, but those are the two worst Four Horsemen ever, so it's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
Eddie Guerrero in the LWO, is that a stretch?
No, I was going to say Filthy Animals, but I didn't think that made the list. And you can say the same with Rey Mysterio with that as well.
What about the Radicals?
I'm not putting Benoit on any list. So.
Guerrero was in the Radicals, though.
That's a good point. But I don't think Guerrero is above the people that were on the list.
Fair enough. D-Generation Tony's in the house.
D-Generation Y, the second squad. They're on a Wednesday, but we're here on Monday night. Woo!
I hate your guts!
All right. You know what? That's a good, simple, easy... That's a good, simple, easy list. That's what the list should be. That was a good game.
Hey, right. Can you guys talk for a second? I just want to get a pen and paper. I'm sorry. I should have been prepared.
All right. Seriously, can I get the he's fucking up and at him already. I couldn't even get the intro music for Can You Beat That?
What a dodo bird.
Of September 7th. We hope you're having a great Labor Day. We hope you are being smart. You're being safe. You're enjoying the podcast. Props to the Von Erichs for joining us. Yes, Mr. Garifo.
The Labor Day Pro Wrestling Tees sale is extended until midnight tonight. So if you're listening to this live and you want to grab a t-shirt of the Shining Wizards, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards and pick up an Uncle Creepy, a Fake News Tony, a Shining Wizards Kevin Wolfpack style shirt. All the shirts are there till midnight, 20% off. Use code Labor Day if you're listening live. So all three of you, go ahead and do that.
Is that still good today?
Till midnight.
Till midnight, baby.
Till midnight. I think it's midnight Central time.
Central, so that's 1 a.m.
Fuck yeah!
All right, Tony, hit me.
Fucking Von Erichs will be eating their luau while you guys are buying shirts. That'd be awesome.
Give me some music, baby. Let's do this.
Oh, fuck me.
We're going to recap. Can you beat that? I beat Tony 2 weeks ago. Then I lost to Kevin last week with special guest Ryan Arthur on the show. So now it is a showdown in Tinseltown. We have, coming to you live from the mean streets of North Arlington.
Tinseltown?
I think he said Titstown.
I said the mean streets of North Arlington. Mr. T-Donk. How are you tonight, T-Donk?
Hi, Matt. Great to be back. Looking forward to playing another game.
Great to have you. And last week's winner from West Orange, styling and profiling with that mustache like no other. He's the Iron Man, Kevin Garifo. Kevin, how are you tonight?
Ooh, baby. Ironing and flyering, baby. That's what's up.
Now, there was a lot of flack in the text messages Wednesday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon. Tony says we did not announce the game properly. So here is how Can You Beat That is played. I will give you a topic and the amount of correct answers. You will pick which topic you want to choose. I have two here. Okay? If you get one wrong, you lose. If you think you can name all of them, the other person does not get an opportunity to try and steal. If you name Jimmy Snuka for anything, you're absolutely a fucking loser like I was last week.
Good point.
All right? So we have two topics here. All right? Now, I'm going to think, Tony, you're going to be the picker first since you are the challenger tonight.
How does that work?
I just decided, Kevin.
All right.
Oh, here we go already.
I was at a championship advantage. All right, go ahead, Tony. Go.
You're
championship. Wait. My last victory, my last match was a victory as well, sir. So
all right.
I'm on a winning streak myself.
All right, Tony.
You just take days off, that's all.
Whoa, really?
He's coming in hot already.
Holy shitballs, dude.
Tony, right. Your two topics. Honor reigns supreme. There are 12 answers.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I see you. There are 13 answers.
I have a feeling I know what ICU is going to be. I'm going to go with ICU.
ICU? That's a category?
I see you. Tony has picked. Tony, there are 13 men who have appeared in WWF, WWE pay-per-view appearances over 100 times. How many can you name?
Holy fuck, over 100 times?
13.
Pay-per-view?
Yes, they have had over 100 appearances on WWF, WWE pay-per-view appearances.
God Christ, who did this research for you? This is a lot of lifting.
There is a website for this, Kevin.
I'm going to start with 5. I'm going to say I can name 5.
100. Holy shit. I'll go 6.
Oh, Kevin thinks he can name 6. Tony, can you name more than 6 men who have appeared on over 100 WWF WWE pay-per-views?
He said 6.
He said 6.
I'll go 7.
Kevin, can you name 7?
No. Can you name 8?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I was putting on music.
Yeah, I think I can name 8.
Kevin can name 8. Tony, can you name 9 men who have appeared in over 100 WWF WWE pay-per-views?
Yeah, I'm going to say I can do 9.
Tony thinks he can name 9. Kevin, can you name 10? Very high-pressure situation here. Can you beat that? These games have gotten seriouser every week. I just made up a word. Don't pay attention to me. Just do your thinking. I can't do with the dead air. So Kevin, Tony, myself have been engaged in a battle. And, of course, you can't forget to mention Kate the Great, who does have her own paper belt, which is...
It's the music you're playing.
It's Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Stop. It sounds like the fucking Dottie Doody Doe music from the first...
Let's let Tony do this.
Tony, you said you can name 9. 9 men who have appeared on over 100... WWF, WWE pay-per-views.
Yeah, now let's see if I could do it. All right, I'm going to start with Shawn Michaels.
Correct! Ding! Shawn Michaels has been on 116 WWF, WWE pay-per-views.
I'm going to say Randy Orton.
Correct! Ding! Randy Orton has been on 166 WWF, WWE pay-per-views.
Triple H?
Correct! Ding! Yeah.
Triple
H has been on 169 WWF pay-per-views.
Wait, how many?
169. Tony, you have 3 down, 6 to go.
Oh, don't remind me. John Cena.
Correct!
Oh.
John Cena comes in at 161 WWF WWE pay-per-views.
See, now you see these guys are so far over 100. It's making me rethink my short list as to maybe those guys actually squeak in. And then I'm starting to think like maybe some of these guys didn't really have the long careers that I think they did. But then you also got to take into account when they started going into monthly pay-per-views.
Just go.
Whoa, Kevin, easy. He's thinking through his answers. Easy over there.
Dildo, I'm trying to give the show content.
He's going
to
get it.
I'm going to put you in timeout.
I'm going to say Undertaker.
Correct. Ding. Undertaker with 173 WWF WWE pay-per-view appearances.
Wow.
Should have answered this one.
You have five. You need four more.
I'm going to say The Rock.
I'm sorry, Tony. The Rock, he's only appeared on 78 pay-per-views.
I knew it. I fucking knew it.
Can I make some guesses?
Hold on. Let's let Kevin, let's hear what you got.
Kane's got to be on there.
Kane is number one with 174 WWF WWE appearances.
Yeah, I had Kane.
Big Show's got to be on there, right?
Big Show with 142 appearances.
Big Show I didn't have.
Jeff Hardy?
Jeff Hardy is not on that right. list. He comes in just a smidge under, 96.
What about Rey Mysterio?
Rey Mysterio is on the list at 109. Let's go back to Tony since he had a couple more names written down. Kevin?
I mean, I had Mysterio, so I would have got that. Kane. I would have been up to seven.
Okay.
I had The Miz.
You would be right. The Miz had 114.
Along that same line.
Yeah, and I also had, and these were big question marks, I had Hogan and Austin, but I don't think either one made it.
No, they did not make it.
Dolph Ziggler's on there.
Dolph Ziggler is the bottom one at 104.
And Edge has to be on there.
Edge is at 129.
Okay, so I wouldn't have gotten it right anyway, I don't think.
You're missing two.
Is Goldust on there?
No, Goldust is not on there. Goldust, Austin came in at 70, just so I can cover that.
Yeah.
Dustin Rhodes was 67.
Matt Hardy's not there?
No, Matt Hardy is right under Jeff at 93.
Mark Henry?
Mark Henry is not there either. He's at 69.
And we're missing two?
You're missing two.
It's got to be, who is always like a hand that would always lose, but always, would always be there.
They're both former world champions.
Sheamus? No.
No Sheamus. What were you saying?
That's a great Khali.
No.
It's not CM Punk.
No.
Ric Flair?
Nope.
No, definitely not Ric Flair.
Who knows, man? He was fucking Evolution. Batista?
Yeah, it was.
No Batista.
I was going to say, yeah, I had Batista, but I crossed him off. There was no way I would have thought that he would have been up there.
Christian?
No, he was in at 97.
Whoa!
World champions.
How many were missing? Two?
Two. One of them had 108 appearances. One of them had 141 appearances.
That 141 we should know.
Oh, you should.
Yeah. Fuck.
It's not Alberto Del Rio. It's
Bret Hart?
No, Bret Hart was way low on the list.
Yeah, no chance he was going to be on there. It's not Warrior. Got to be in the modern era. It's got to be the modern pay-per-view era. Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash is not on the list.
No. He had a whole year of pay-per-views plus his weird little...
A whole year of pay-per-views is 12 pay-per-views.
Yeah, I understand that, but he also had IC titles and returns and...
Nowhere near 100.
Booker T?
No, not Booker T.
Oh, Christ, I'm
cracking. You're both going to kick yourselves when I tell you who these two are.
Eddie Guerrero?
No.
Yeah, you're right. I'm probably going to kick myself in the dick because I really fucking thought I would have had this one. Who you got?
No.
Well, we don't have all night here, Kevin.
Yeah, come
that's
on.
All right, fair. Go.
Get to play.
Kofi Kingston.
Oh. He was 140 or he was
108.
Okay.
Le Champion, Chris Jericho.
Oh, wow. You're right.
So there we go. Good job, Kev.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Well, I just got to ask you, where did you come up with the name ICU?
Like, I see you on TV.
I thought it was an Intercontinental Championship.
See, that's why I went for it, you dick.
Yeah. Sorry. Don't call me.
I can call you a dick. Fuck off. You're
right. Who's the jerk now in this game?
Tony is.
Jerky McJerkerson.
All right, Kevin. This is to you.
400 Ring of Honor wrestlers. Go.
Kevin, your topic was honor, reigns, supreme. The answer, 12. There have been 27 Ring of Honor world champions. 12 of them have won titles in the WWF, They've won titles in WWE/NXT. So any title win, not a world title, not a heavyweight, any championship title belt.
In NXT.
NXT or WWE. There are 12 correct WWE. Answers. Former Ring of Honor world champions who have won gold in the WWE/NXT.
So they have to be a world champion in Ring of Honor, but they can win any belt in WWE/NXT.
Correct.
Ding.
And I can name four.
Kevin can name four. Tony, can you name five?
There we go. Now that's some thinking music. Wish I could hear it a little louder. Can you boost it up a little bit? Just a little bit. There we go. I'm like,
I want to make sure the people listening can also hear the conversation.
Oh, you can turn it down a bit then. What the fuck do you want to do?
Kevin thinks he can name four.
And so, they had to have been Ring of Honor world champion.
Yes, Ring of Honor world champion.
And did they have to go on to win a WWE NXT title?
No, it's they were Ring of Honor world champion, and at some point in their career, they won a WWE.
I'm going to say five.
I'll go six.
Tony, can you name seven?
See, Kevin knows a lot more about NXT than I do, but just don't know enough about Ring of Honor.
There's your $1 million donkey right there.
Donka donka. And five just seems so low. Like, I feel like I should know six. Then again, I thought I knew nine for the fucking last question. Hell's bells, I sure didn't. Oh. Fuck. All right. I'm going to say I could do seven.
Just as you were saying seven, I think I got my eight. So I'm going to say eight.
All right, Kevin, it's up to you, buddy. I'm Kevin, can you beat that?
All right, Kevin, you are up. You have to name eight former Ring of Honor world champions who at some point in their career held WWE or NXT gold.
So they had to be... I know Tony already asked it. They had to win the Ring of Honor title first, right?
No.
They didn't have to win the Ring of Honor title.
No, they just were the Ring of Honor world champion, and at some point in their career, they held WWE or NXT gold.
Daniel Bryan?
Correct! Ding! That is one.
AJ Styles?
AJ Styles was never the Ring of Honor world champion.
And that was one that I had crossed off, too. And I still said it.
He's won.
Oh, my God. I would have had seven. Tyler Black, Samoa Joe, CM Punk, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Sami Zayn, PCO.
No Sami Zayn. Hold on.
Oh, God. I had Sami Zayn.
CM Punk, Kyle O'Reilly. Who'd you say, Kevin? Just go slow it down.
Tyler Black.
Yep.
Samoa Joe.
Yep.
CM Punk.
Yep.
Adam Cole.
Yep.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Yep.
PCO.
Yes.
And that's and I, AJ Styles is the one that ruined it for me.
All right. Who do you got, Tony? You got anyone on the list that he didn't name?
The only one I had was Matt Hardy, but he didn't win the world title, did he?
No, he did not.
All right, because I had AJ and I had Sami Zayn on the list too, so I would have fucking shit the bet on that one.
That's literally the one when you said whether or not they had NXT titles, I had crossed off Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles, then I put an exclamation point next to AJ Styles. Ah!
So we are tied at one. Here are some other answers. Kevin Steen. Roderick Strong.
Nope.
Cody Rhodes.
Ah.
Jerry Lynn.
Ooh.
And I think the one nobody would have got, James Gibson.
Oh, I had him.
Yeah. He invented the guitars, right?
Pretty sure.
That's just a bad job. That's just a bad job. I had enough to win.
Yeah, Kevin, shame on you. You suck. All right, it's 1-1. What do we got? Fucking junior tag team champions of New Japan?
We'd be here all night, Tony.
James Gibson is better known as Jamie Noble, too, just so you guys
no
know.
No shit.
No, I saved the best one for last.
Oh, how many titles Tito Santana has won?
No, this is called TV Time. From 1983 to 2000, the WWF WWE ruled the TV airwaves. There have been 20 different weekly programs or syndicated shows and specials. How many can you name?
Oh, fuck me running. This is a great question.
All right. Repeat that question.
From 1983 to 2000, the WWF WWE has had 20 different weekly program shows and or specials.
Wait. Weekly specials? Or is it weekly shows and specials?
Weekly shows and specials.
Okay. All right.
So there's 20 answers to this question. And I think this might be the best question I've ever asked.
All right, so syndicated. So we're not talking.
Wait, syndicated? Like, what's the parameters here?
No, weekly TV shows.
Or specials.
Specials, yes. Specials that maybe had only like 3 episodes or 5 episodes or 2 episodes.
This is just WWE?
This is WWF WWE from 83 to 2000.
Who goes first?
I'm going to go with Kevin since he won last week.
Fuck, my handwriting sucks.
I mean, I'll start off at 7, just so we don't sit here all day.
All right, Kevin says he can name 7. Tony, how many can you name? Can you
I'll
name more than
10?
Tony thinks he can name 10. So that's the halfway mark right there.
Fuck, I got to keep track of all these. Holy shit.
So I don't know if we're counting.
I think I got this one, dude.
I don't think you do, but.
All right, tell me to beat it.
So if there's
I can do 11.
Kevin can do 11. So this includes shows on USA Network, TBS, syndicated shows, weekly TV shows. There's no like, there's no red herring here. They're all you guys know every single one of these. With the exception of one, I'd say.
I'm going to go 12.
I'll go 13.
Tony, can you name 14?
Now, are we talking about like possibly reincarnations of with the same name?
Yes.
So that counts as multiple different shows?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, how many did you say you could name? Who was the last one to go? I completely Kevin. Just... All right.
I don't remember what I said. What did I say?
13?
I don't think I would say 13. Did I say 13?
I don't know what he said. Wait, what? I said 10? Checking the Discord. I'll check the hot mic. Hopefully somebody's listening. Fuck. Really? Where's the hot mics? Nope, nobody's listening. I said 10. Kevin said 11. I thought I said 12. Didn't he say 13?
Yes. So we're okay. Right.
That's fine.
Kevin said 13. So, Tony, can you name 14?
Well, I'm looking. I'm trying to think. I might be able to.
This is very tense. This is the tiebreaker. Kevin and Tony tied at one apiece. A lot on the line here.
I got this.
I'm going to go 14.
Tony says he can name 14. Kevin, can you name 15?
15.
Kevin says he can name 15. Tony, can you name 16?
Oh, wait, that can't be one. Hold on.
Oh, God. What am I thinking here?
I don't know.
And you're talking about specials, too, right?
There are a couple specials sprinkled in there.
I don't want to ask a revealing question, but I do have a question.
Okay.
But...
Would you like to send me a text message? I will let each of you send me a text message.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that'll help.
That works.
All right. Please feel free to text me, gentlemen, as we figure out what we are. A lot on the line here, people. A lot on the line here.
Tony, don't also put it in the same text message that we're all involved in.
A lot on the line here. This is to see who faces me next week.
Yeah, I thought the winner faces What's-Her-Name next week.
Oh, I didn't know you were recognizing her as the champion, Kevin.
I'm not. Oh. But she texted me saying that's the deal. And I was like, what?
Oh, I didn't know she was running this podcast.
You tweeted it too, didn't you?
I did not tweet anything. She may have tweeted something.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's why I didn't retweet it.
Patiently waiting on text messages from both competitors to answer any questions that they may have. A lot on the line here. This might be the most intense.
I don't think Tony realizes how much free time I had as a kid.
All right, hold on. I must answer these questions.
He's trying to talk me out of this. He is.
All right. Tony got his answer. And I'm responding to Kevin now.
Reponding?
Reponging? Repongy bonging?
Let's see. Is it on the list? Just responding to Kevin now.
I wonder how many answers we're going to come up with where Matt's going to be like, I might have to accept that one.
Oh, fuck. What were the years again?
83 to 2000. So,
All right. All right. I still think I'm at 13. So,
I think the
he was at 15.
15 was the correct answer there.
Are you rescinding your 15? I mean, if Matt, if an answer to Matt's question changed your mind, and if Matt's okay with it, I'll
no, that's my own fault for not paying attention to the goddamn question.
No. I'm giving you an opportunity. If you made an honest mistake, I don't want to hold it against you.
I don't want. Let me check one.
Take all the time you need, pal.
Matt's got to go home soon before the wife charges it and interrupts the podcast.
I don't even think she's home yet. She might still be stuck at work. Labor Day is a busy day. Everyone comes back into town, so.
I think I'm still good at 15.
All right, Tony, can you name 16?
I probably can. I'm going to let Kevin take a shot at this one.
Well, this is either going to go really well or really, really bad.
All right, Kevin, your number is 15.
I've got a list of 15 here, by the way. So I think if you get one more that's not on my list, I think you got this wrapped up.
If you get an answer wrong, please do not throw out a bunch of other answers. We'll see what's on Tony's list, okay?
I won't. Well, the one I have to cross off immediately is NXT and ECW, so I got to cross those off.
Yes.
Got to cross Confidential off. We'll go Raw.
Correct. Ding.
Raw.
SmackDown.
Correct. Ding.
Sunday Night Heat.
Correct. Ding. Go.
Primetime Wrestling.
Correct. Ding.
Superstar, WWE Superstars.
Correct.
Wrestling.
Ding.
And now this is where my question comes in. Does the revamp of Superstars count? No, never mind. Doesn't count. My final answer. Because that was after 2000. WWF Mania.
Correct. Ding. Let me just find that on my list. There it is.
Shock on Saturday Night.
Correct. Ding. Kevin, you are at...
Seven, Kevin.
Wrestling Challenge.
Correct. Ding.
Action Zone.
Correct. Ding.
Saturday Night's Main Event.
Correct. Ding.
All American Wrestling.
Correct. Ding.
I want to see him get this now. He's getting close. I want to see him get this.
Live Wire.
Correct. Ding.
What am I at, 12?
You are at 12. Kevin, you need 3 more.
God, I feel like there's some like generic ass name of a show that I'm missing. What about like the Thursday Raw Thursday?
That did not make the list, so I would have not, and I would have given you a pass on that. I wouldn't have made it. I would have made it right. I wouldn't have made it wrong. You just get a pass.
So that's okay. So
you didn't get it wrong. You're still at 12.
In fairness, Kev, I had that on my list too. So.
Tough Enough was after. Titans. Tuesday Night Titans.
Correct. Ding.
Good pick, Kevin. Good pick.
Kevin, you are at 13. You need 2 more.
ECW doesn't count. Velocity doesn't count. Oh, but there was those other fucking Bush League shows that were on. What was other Bush League shows?
WWE Bush League.
WWE Bush League.
Correct. Ding.
Oh. I got him. Jacked?
Correct. Ding.
Now, was this...
You're at 14, Kevin. You just need to get one more right.
Was this there, though? Was this at the same time? They were on the same time because one was on, like, WLNY and one was on, like, Metal.
That also fell under Jacked, so you are good there.
So that counts.
No, Jacked and Metal were the same show.
Oh, I hate you.
Don't. It's a strong word, Kevin. There's two that I don't.
They were different shows, though.
Look, where I did my research, they fell under the same category as the same show, Jacked and Metal.
Yeah.
There's two that I don't think either of you were ever going to get.
I watched a lot of wrestling.
Maybe three. You just need one more, Kevin.
What about, like, the weird, like, does it have to be, like, in America?
Are you answering or are you playing games? What are you doing?
Like, was it, like, Maple Leaf Wrestling a thing for WWF? Is that before? That's not a question. That's not an answer. That's a question. It wasn't an answer.
I didn't realize this was Ken. You questioned that.
Tony, I got it. I got it, baby.
Uh-oh.
I went above the border. I should have went down below the border. Super Astros.
You motherfucker.
Ding. Shining Wizards. Kevin, 15 out of 20.
Wow.
The other answers. Tony, what do you got for me?
The only other one that I had Super Astros. I had the main event as a separate show.
You would have been correct on that. The main event.
And
you had what?
Free for all.
Free for all was not a TV. That wasn't like a WWF.
It wasn't
on the list.
You could have probably. It wasn't weekly either, right? Is that the thing?
Correct.
Not the gimmick.
But it wasn't. I guess you could see how it would have been a special, but no.
What about the main event? Not Saturday night's main event.
The main event. Yes, yeah. You got that. If you had said the main event, that would have counted. Five episodes.
Okay, so those are the other two that I had. I didn't have Jack. I didn't have Livewire. I didn't have Action Zone. But yeah, he nailed all the other ones.
Action Zone took over for Challenge, I believe.
WWF on TBS from 1984 to 1985.
Oh, that was Black Friday.
Well, it lasted longer than...
Championship Wrestling, right? Wasn't it Championship Wrestling?
No, it was WWF on TBS is what it was called.
Oh. Yeah, that's the one that took over the Georgia time slot.
WWF Wrestling Spotlight was a TV show. Now, these two, they may have fallen into... I remember one. Friday night's main event was on the USA Network. There were two episodes of that.
Yeah.
So that fell into it. And I kind of feel like that might be like a Thursday Raw Thursday, now that I think about it.
And then they did Tuesday Raws too, but not.
And then there was something called WWF Sunday Night Slam on the USA Network. Sunday Night
Slam. And then they also did you could also throw out the Survivor Series Showdown, the SummerSlam, you know, preview show or whatever it was, but
Kevin, had a couple strong, Kevin, strong, strong no, showing.
He nailed that one, man. That was good. I got to give him props.
I've been holding on to that one for weeks because I thought that would be a lot of fun.
Like I said, I had a lot of free time. Like, I was, like, looking up, like, literally sitting preview guide channel. What is a wrestling on at all? I thought Jacked and Metal were different shows, though.
I'll look it up right now. Give me a second here.
I mean, because
someone talk.
They were definitely on like WLNY, but I wasn't sure if one was like, I know they started in 98, 99, but I wasn't sure if one may have, like, Velocity wouldn't count because that probably started in 2000.
That was a good run though. I was kind of surprised when you pulled Tuesday Night Titans out. I was like, all right, he's probably going to get in this one.
I was looking at my list and I reread Prime going back and I saw Primetime Wrestling. I'm like, wait, primetime wrestling wasn't always a thing. Tuesday Night Titans was. And then I went to the Maple Leaf Garden show, which apparently wasn't a thing. And so I was like, ah, let's travel down.
I'm really impressed, though, that you were able to pull Super Asterisk, because I wrote that down. I'm like, man, I don't think Kevin would count this one, but it's got to be on the list. But
if
yeah.
it wasn't, if it wasn't for Canada, I literally would have gotten Mexico. Because that was on like 11 o'clock on the weekends, too, like 11 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wait, what was?
Super Astros, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we did have that for a while, but then I think it became like a South American kind of thing only.
Action Zone? Let's pull up Wikipedia here. I'm sure Matt already does. March to WrestleMania is one, apparently.
Is March to WrestleMania was on your list?
No.
No, it wasn't on my list. But it's on.
Just like, how many times am I going to fucking see Kevin be so impressive except for when it fucking matters? Like, how many times?
Wait,
how many times is Kevin going to bring his A game to like the ALDS version of this fucking game show? You know what I mean?
Holy
Jesus Christ. Like, naming 15 out of 20 impressive category, but like, I don't know, maybe show up when it counts. Maybe show up when the construction paper belt is on the line. You guys are sitting there talking about stables that lead to world championships. How about fucking Degeneration Y? Did you think about that one before?
Jesus!
Nobody thinks about Degeneration Y ever.
Everybody thinks about Degeneration Y because I have your championship belt. And I'll tell you what, episode 500, I want to come on and I want to pick the winner of Kevin versus Matt. And Kevin will probably put in a great fucking effort next week to fucking lose again. And round we'll fucking go. Because it's just what we do. I guess me and Kevin are like the Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch, where we just don't stop facing each other and I'll be the one that walks away.
Now, first of all, there's no chance in hell you will be on this show episode 500. No chance. No chance.
I know very close abouts where you live. I can find you. I'll find you. I'll show up with my belt. I'm ready to throw it down on episode 500.
This is the worst gimmick ever. This is the worst segment of the show we've ever done.
If I win, I want your top five list for a month. If I win.
First of all, you don't get that right. You haven't earned that right.
Earned that right? I'm the fucking champion.
You haven't earned anything yet. And I know they just put you through to get me hot. So you haven't earned anything. You haven't done anything. We've been here 9 years. You've been here 2 years. Top.
Have you beat me, and can you beat that trivia? How many times, Kevin?
I haven't beaten you, but I've beaten myself
zero
a bunch.
Times. It's been zero times. I'm going to put it on page fucking 17 of the contract, just like this Moxley schmoz. There's a stipulation in there.
Don't bring Smart Mark into this. Don't bring Smart Mark. He's a genius attorney.
Sterling into this. All I want, because you know what? I'm the champion. It's champion's advantage.
There's no belt. You made this up. You're like Brian Cage.
There's a picture of a belt. You can get a replica of it on Pro Wrestling Tees.
You make stuff up to make you feel better about things that don't exist in your.
I don't need to make stuff up to feel better. I beat you twice.
I mean, she does make a good point. I mean, Kev, you had an impressive show.
Let's go to Wikipedia. Is it on Wikipedia?
I beat you. I didn't even need to beat you 2 out of 3 because I beat you 2 out of 2. Like, we'll see what you do against Matt. But like,
I don't know how. On the Monday Night Show, we let this happen.
Champions don't let things happen. Champions make things happen, and that's what I'm here to do. Matt was shitting his pants. He called out. I came in and I beat you. Tony had to sit out. I came in. I beat you again. This is what happens. Champions make things happen. Right. I'm not here to drop names.
What I'm going to go ahead and do is I'm going to take all the paper that I ripped up with all my correct answers on. I'm going to put them, I'm going to shred them deeply at work tomorrow. Put them in a paper shredder. And then I'm going to go to where you live and litter your freaking lawn with everything that I have. And listen, it'll be a win-win because paper is recyclable. It replenishes the earth. It's what we're going to do.
You can scatter your like pre-show, pre-qualification match correct answers on my lawn all you fucking want. Listen, I show up when it matters.
There are only three names that matter on this podcast, and they are Matt, Tony, and Kevin. And that's it.
So, if I can interrupt, here. So, I will gladly.
Kate, you make me drink.
I will gladly bow out of my match with Kevin if. If we can make this the challenge of the century at the 500th episode. Tony makes a question. I make a question.
Nope. Not doing it.
Wow. Oh,
he kept being a coward because he's scared to face me again. I'm shocked.
No, I'll face you. Not at 500.
That Kevin's scared to face me again.
Not at 500.
I hate this idea that Kevin is the best.
Well.
Because he's not.
Listen,
the best.
You don't have to like it, but you don't have to like it, but you better learn to love it because it's the best thing going today. Well, someone said that, and it was KJG.
I'm the one that won. You're 0-2.
Garbage. Trash. I'm surprised you didn't squander in from Tony's curb in North Arlington.
I would be honored to have one of those fantastic t-shirts. Second of all, if I'm trash and you're 0-2 against me, what the fuck does that make you, Kevin?
Wow.
I'll tell you what it makes me. It makes me bowing down to my lesser competition.
It makes you a fucking loser is what it makes you, Kevin.
The fact that I'm still humoring this is comical. It's absolutely comical. It's a joke. That's true, too. I'm very funny.
What are you talking about?
A very good point. I'm a very funny guy.
Wow. But you know what?
Are you saying you went 0-2 against me on purpose? Because you lost twice, pal.
No, but you didn't beat me. I beat me. Maybe one, if I remember correctly. Maybe you got me once. So I'll take an L for one.
Take an L across the board, pal. All right.
Not tonight, kid.
Not tonight. Yeah, when it doesn't matter, when there's nothing to be gained. So
what do you mean there's nothing to be gained? First of all, this weird gimmick that spurred out of nowhere, which shouldn't exist. It should just be me, Matt, and Tony having fun as a podcast. And we let trolls like you, trolls like other people into our world. It's something I'll regret till the day that I die.
Von Erichs for joining us tonight. Ross and Marshall. Ross Von Erichs.
Right. Hang up on her. Cut her off. Cut her mic.
Well, I mean, I don't think anything's going to get resolved tonight.
Cut her mic.
Nothing's getting resolved tonight. There's nothing that needs to get resolved for me. I've got the belt. So if Kevin's too chicken to face me, that's fine.
A belt that you made yourself out of ShopRite bags. Have fun with that.
Matt left.
Black construction paper and pure gold, baby. Matt, that's what my belt's made out of.
Cut it.
Kate, nice having you on the show. I think we're going to have to get the legal team involved, but we will let you know what's going to happen for the the gauntlet's been thrown, and Kevin doesn't seem to be too quick to pick it up, if I must say.
You're triggered. You triggered me. It's trash. Hit the dump button.
That's not very nice.
No, do it. Who cares?
I think she hung up.
Good for her.
Yeah, she left, dude. She said enough of you.
She figured something out. Finally.
All right, let me start the music. I guess we're bringing this thing into the station. Hopefully, Matt doesn't have any more news and notes.
Oh, he calls this. He picked up the phone, right?
Yeah, I think it was all him. I really think it was him.
Oh, it was definitely him. Here he is.
Troublemakers, D-Generation Y. Hey, we'd like to thank Ross and Marshall Von Erichs, the Von Erichs boys, for joining us tonight. They were an awesome tandem as guests. Kevin, top five, would you say? I think we'd say top five.
I'd say top five, and I'd say my top five was top five.
Well, there you go. Absolutely great. At Ross Von Erichs on the Twitter, at Marshall Von Erichs. Those guys are tearing it up as your MLW tag champs. Like to thank Kevin. I bow to you, sir. That was a hell of a performance tonight. 2-1. That was a nice run. I wouldn't have held up with you on that one. That was a good call. Very well played. I'm looking forward to your challenge to Kate at the 500th episode.
It's not happening.
Buy a t-shirt. Go over to prowrestlingtees.com/shiningwizards. We got shirts for sale. We got fucking T-Dong's barbecue sauce. No, that's what I got in my pants.
God damn.
But pretty soon that might be for sale. Anyway, we got shirts over there. Go pick up a shirt. Support us on the Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And support us on social media. I'm at Big Tony Z. Kevin's at Kevin Grifo. At Wizards Podcast. At Wizards Podcast on Facebook. I don't know what Matt's fucking Twitter is.
I don't know what it is either.
All right, so he doesn't fucking follow it anyway.
Be sure to tune in next week. Dave LaGreca joins us. Kevin, maybe you do a tune-up match against Dave LaGreca, and can you beat that?
Ooh.
All right. Now that's intriguing.
Oh, all right. We're gonna have to get the Shining Wizards legal team on that one.
Matt, don't let any of that. Don't let any of this trash call in again while we're doing a great show.
Fair enough. Wow. Oh man, hot takes here. I mean, this is, look, I'm not gonna lie. This is like two Mack trucks going 90 miles an hour down the street. Eventually, they're gonna run into each other.
All right, what's the Islander score?
And the score needs to be settled.
That's what I was watching a little bit.
You guys are awesome. This was a great night. Devon Eric's ruled. We will be back next week. David LaGreca, episode 498. Support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. ShiningWizards.com, at Wizards Podcast, across the media platforms. I am the Big Puma, signing off.
Oh, I hate that fucking name. I'm Fonzanoon.
The Iron Man.
And we're off of the hot mic.
There we go. Trash.
Get out of this.